Silver Streaks Football on WGIL is brought to you in part by Neil Thomas Plumbing and Heating in Galesburg. You deserve to be comfortable in your home, but not miserable when you get the bill. By Cratty Insurance Agency, your local Rockford Mutual Insurance Agency in Galesburg. By Courtright Construction of Oneida, the right choice for your next project. By Dave's Auto Body in Galesburg, you better call Dave's. By Galesburg Nissan on North Henderson Street, home of the lifetime warranty. Silver Streaks Football is also brought to you by McDonald's in Galesburg and Knoxville. I'm loving it. By the all-new Galesburg Toyota, the dealership everyone is talking about. By Kehoe Eye Care, they care for people, not just eyes. By Midstate Manufacturing, the headquarters for any of your steel material fabrication or powder coating needs. And by Yem Auto Group on North Henderson in Galesburg, home to Chevrolet, Buick, GMC, Chrysler, Jeep, Dodge, and Ram. Say yes to Yem. Proud to bring you GHS Silver Streaks Football on 93.7 FM and 1400 AM WGIL.
Welcome to another season of Galesburg High School Football on WGIL. The Silver Streaks open at home under Mike Washabaugh's second season as head coach of the Silver Streaks. New uniforms for Galesburg High School, new band uniforms. There's just all kinds of things to sparkle things up here in a brand new season. And again, a lot of optimism for this team. Even though the Streaks were only 1-8 last year, you look down this lineup, you see a lot of returning players, guys who got a lot of experience last year. And a lot of sophomores. It's a real interesting mix of new players, new to the varsity level. And, of course, this sophomore group has had tremendous success all the way through the ranks. And we'll see what some of them get to do in a starting capacity here tonight on the varsity level. Silver Streaks are going to receive the kickoff. The Dunlap Eagles were 7-3. Back-to-back playoff seasons. Of course, 2 years ago, they went to the state championship in Class 5A. They made the playoffs again last year, went 7-2 in the regular season, lost in the opening round. Against Galesburg, Dunlap won last year 21-7, a game which was tied at halftime, and then the Silver Streaks had some costly turnovers that led to some Dunlap points. Good crowd on hand on the Dunlap sideline. Tremendous crowd at home for the Silver Streaks, and we are ready to get the season underway with Alex Egyptiaco standing back at the 5-yard line with the kick split down the middle of the field. It goes through the hands of Justice Gatson. Egyptiaco goes back, scoops it up at the 3, runs to the far side of the field, slips a couple of tackles, breaks into some open field across the 20 and across the 25 to about the 26, where the Silver Streaks, after maybe some early jitters there on that kickoff, managed to turn something positive out of it.
That was a low line drive kickoff. It was coming in hot too, and Justice just, he got his hands up, but went right through it. Alex Egyptiaco is showing, good poise there for the sophomore to pick that up and get a good gain.
And what great field vision to look ahead, and a ball's on the ground to pick it up and still get out to the 25. That's a nice start for us.
Connor Ayton, second-year starting quarterback for the Silver Streaks. Dylan McBride takes the place of Kobe Ramirez at the Silver Streaks lost to graduation. And they open with 4 wideouts, 2 to each side of the field. McBride lines up just to the right of Ayton in the short shotgun. Takes the handoff. Ayton scrambles back, tries to slip a tackle, and is brought down back at the 14-yard line. And the Dunlap defense makes an early statement on the first play of the game.
Yeah, trying to run the zone read there, and there was no read that was going to be a good one. And the running back was going to get in the backfield. Connor tried to take it and make something of himself. You see the Streaks go no huddle, and you got a couple coaches down here signaling things in. Coach Turner, Coach Jake Tenhouse, I'm sure one of them's the dummy call, and one of them's the real thing. So this is a little tweak from last year.
Jake, that play looked like it was we pulled both guys in the backside, so it looked like it was kind of a quarterback trap. Yeah, counter play. He's going to hold on to it.
No huddle and empty backfield as Ayton swings it to the near side, and it's through the hands of Alex Egyptiaco across the 20-yard line after a loss of 10 on the opening play of the season. So that'll bring up third and 20 rather, after the incompletion. Let's go ahead and run through the Galesburg offensive line. Coach Mike Washabaugh is optimistic about what the offensive line can do with a number of players back here as well, including Blaze Purchase and Kane Johnson anchoring the right side of that offensive line. McBride checks back in for the Silver Streaks, back in at running back with Ayton on third and 20. Short drop, swings it to the far side of the field. A high pass, Gatson goes up for the reception, but he stopped immediately back to the original line of scrimmage, so they gain 10 of it back, and it'll be fourth and 10.
Jake, you can talk about this, but the two throws so far that we've seen from Connor, the one there to Gypsyaka was a little bit let him a little bit too far. That was a little bit high. You know, we have some jitters here. He's going to work through that and settle down. Hopefully, our next series will be much improved.
Always still good to get that first completion out of the way, though.
Absolutely. It is.
And Aiton will punt for most of the times this season. He boots it away at the 16, a short end-over-end kick, bouncing at the Dunlap 49-yard line, goes straight up into the air, and the Silver Streaks will down it at about the 48-yard line, and Dunlap has terrific field position on its opening drive of the season. And there will be a familiar name in at quarterback, at least if you've been around Galesburg. Historically, you got to go back almost 20 years, but Zach Chatterton was here as a member of the coaching staff, eventually became head coach of the Silver Streaks, and now his son Jackson, a senior, is a starting quarterback for the Dunlap Eagles as he trots in from the sideline. We'll run through the Dunlap offense, the Galesburg defense, as we roll through this first possession for the Eagles. And they will line up with a lot of wideouts and are not afraid to throw the ball. With Chatterton in the short drop, Gade Calhoun goes into motion, lines up with three wideouts to the near side. Here's the snap, throws it to Calhoun, caught at the 44, nice, and the ball is kicked free. Still a scramble for it, back at the 46, and it looks like Dunlap fell on it. Therefore, the recovery was Braden Dietz.
David Vannerman on the hit that jarred the ball loose. He shed the block perfectly, and, you know, he's showing his form as the high-motor guy, returning all-conference player out there kind of one-on-one covering and just made a great stick.
Yeah, they shifted out into a trips formation there, so we had to bump our inside linebacker, which is Vannerman there, and he came off the block and make a nice hit and had to jar it loose. Too bad we didn't get it.
So after the completion and the fumble and the recovery by Dunlap, second and 12, swing to the outside to the running back, and he runs into Aaron Carl on the far side of the field as Curry crosses into Galesburg territory, stopped at the 46-yard line.
That's going to be something for us to watch, Sean, tonight, especially with our two sophomore bookends walking out there at you know, with Aaron Carl and forgetting the name here.
Hunter Davina,
right. Yep. We got two sophomore bookends on the outside linebackers, and they're going to be put in space tonight for sure. They're going to have to cover. They're going to have to stop the run. That's going to be a big key to the Streaks defense tonight.
Gain of 9, 3rd and 3 for the Eagles. We are just underway in the first quarter here from Van Dyke Field. Chatterton in the gun, streak show blitz and flags.
It's going to be offensive, it looks like.
As I think they have somebody for Dunlap on the offensive line moved. And that little blitz show by the Silver Streaks may have been enough to throw them off.
Vannerman trying to rush the outside there in what they call their iron stunt, or it's one of those. And Vannerman was going to come in completely unblocked. I don't know if he'd have got there in time, but would have been interesting to see how that play panned out.
Well, with him vacating that space there, they had the trips to the wide side of the field, and they would have had an opening there. You know, if he couldn't have gotten there, maybe his hands up to deflect that ball or something, because, you know, they would have had it. Here they are again at the trips. Now David's going to bump out there. He's split the difference between two and three receivers, so the inside guy does have a path there if they dump it to him real quick.
Just underway, first possession for Dunlap on 3rd and 8. Chatterton rolling right, throws it downfield, picked off at the 32-yard line. Here's the run back to the Silver Streaks up the near side and stepping out of bounds, Raheem Spinks. And Bonnet gets the Galesburg sideline charged up. That ball wasn't even close.
We got a penalty flag down.
Perfectly.
Got a flag down here. Blaze Purchase out there says it's against Dunlap. We'll see if he's right.
Is he calling out the defense or the offense?
Holding. It's a hold on the offense, so it's Streaks ball.
There we go. All right, those are the types of plays that you want to have, because what you want to do, anytime you're coaching here, you want to be in the plus for turnovers. You know, you want to have more takeaways than you do giveaways, and so right now that puts us at plus one.
Coach Turner talked about that as obviously one of the big, and every coach will tell you that's the number one battle you want to win is the turnover battle, and like you said, Streaks on the good side of things right now. Let's see if they can capitalize. Do they go big here right off the turnover? They got great field position.
And going back to that play, Jake, it was right in front of you. What a great break that Raheem had
perfect.
On that. I mean,
perfect.
The ball was underthrown, yes, but perfect read, broke on it, and unfortunately he stepped out of bounds.
Streaks come out tight and wishbone.
Yeah, wishbone.
Uh-oh.
Aiton.
Look at that.
Hands off to Dylan McBride behind his lead blockers. Crosses into going. Dunlap territory. Good surge forward close to the Eagles' 46-yard line for a good gain on first down.
Sean, it's been a lot of years since I've seen two tight ends and wishbone here at the Galesburg offense, and it got me a little bit giddy. I'm not going to lie to you.
Yeah, Jake, you're wearing short sleeves down there. If you look at the hair on your arms, do they stick up?
Just a little bit. Okay. I have goosebumps.
Second and a long four for the Silver Streaks as they cross into Eagles territory for the first time tonight.
Now we have a trip bunch left. Slip.
Fake handoff. Aiton rolling right on the play action. Complete inside the Dunlap 40-yard line to about the 37 as he finds right into the numbers Dre Egyptiaco, and the Silver Streaks move the chains.
And he's got a flood on that side. He's got a short receiver. He's got an intermediate receiver. And Connor, you know, normally we'd see him just dump it down, but that wasn't enough for him. He took the intermediate receiver for a good game.
Yep, and we, you know, I talked in the last series about the two throws. One was high, one led him a little bit too far.
That one was on the money.
Right on the money. So, good. Settle in. Let's keep the ball moving.
First down for the Silver Streaks at the Eagles' 36-yard line. Aiton will come up under center with a single setback behind him.
Gets
the handoff up the middle to Dylan McBride. Bounces to the left inside the 35 to about the 32-yard line for a pickup of four on first down.
That's a great positive play there to start. And we can run that belly from so many different formations, and it's been a staple the last few years.
What a difference it makes for Mike Washabaugh, as we talked about in the pregame. Got the head coaching job last season on commencement day at Galesburg High School and immediately jumped into the coaching over the summer. He's had a full year under his belt to really prepare these kids for this season. Rolling right, Aiton cut off, turns around, rolls left. Now he gets some blockers, and he gets freed up and dragged down at the jersey down to the 31-yard line. So Connor ran a long way, ends up picking a yard up out of it.
All right, coach is screaming down here for the horse collar, which is a different rule this year. They don't have to be inside the pads. If they horse collar you by the jersey, that
from
should
behind.
Be 15 yards from behind.
Yep.
He was down on the numbers, not up around the neck, so I think the officials probably made the right call there.
Talk about our officiating crew. Chet Lean is the referee. Jason Danner, the umpire from Rova from years past. Jason did some coaching time at Rova. We're halfway through the first quarter, no score. Second possession for the Silver Streaks. They have it third and five at the 31-yard line.
Play
drop
action.
Back by Hunter. Rolling out. Right side complete. Into the hands of Aaron Carl and the tight end dragged down, but he gets the first down to
very
the 25-yard line.
Yep.
Looks like he's going to get it here.
I think so. Yep. Signal, first down.
Love to see those third down conversions.
And what a nice route he had there. Just a, you know, either it was an arrow route or an out route there. I don't know if he got upfield with it, Jake. Did you see that?
It was pretty flat. He was pretty flat, but the ball was right on the money, so he was able to catch it and turn and go. And he needed every inch.
It was a stick route. He faked the block, and then he went out.
First varsity pass reception for the sophomore as his brother, a Streaks grad, playing at ISU.
Dre Egyptiaco, Alex Egyptiaco, a couple of other sophomores already with a pass reception in this game as well. On the draw play, Aiton straight up the middle, crosses the 25, gets inside to about the 23, maybe the 22-yard line.
Completely designed there.
Yep, is a gun empty, so he's in shotgun formation. Three guys to his right, two receivers to his left. As soon as he got the ball, he ran it field. So, you know, it's a design play like Jake said.
Picks up three. It'll be second and seven for the Silver Streaks as we approach the 5:20 mark of the first quarter.
Another sophomore in the game with Grant Aiton, Connor's brother, in the slot here on the near side.
Aiton rolling left, looking that direction, throws it into the flat. It's tipped, and coming back for it, Gatson can't catch up, falls incomplete, third down. So that ends a streak of three passes in a row by Aiton. Love to see the mix that we are seeing offensively by the Silver Streaks, especially on this drive.
Yeah, he's about 50-50, run pass. This is a big down here, obviously because it's third down, but field position, you're too far for a field goal. I think you're in four down territory already. You don't have to get it all back right here.
David Olivas will share some kicking duties with sophomore John Wren, but Wren's out of town for soccer, so it's all on Olivas tonight. Short drop, swing pass to the near side, pass complete as Max
That's his
Carr
brother.
Grant Aiton.
That's Grant Aiton.
That wasn't Max, all right. Had to reach down for it.
And we're going to be about 2 yards short.
So the first brother-to-brother connection
of
the season.
Got Mama Aiton down here taking pictures, smiling.
So a gain of four. It'll be fourth down for the Silver Streaks at the Dunlap 18, about 2 yards short. First fourth down conversion opportunity for the Silver Streaks. Let's see if they try to draw Dunlap offsides or if they play it straight. They play it straight.
Weren't set.
And, yep, offensive movement by the Silver Streak, so that'll go back 5 yards. How does that change the play call now?
Well, it changes your play call. I don't think it doesn't change. I mean, you're going for it still.
No, absolutely.
Yeah, you're not bringing the kicking unit out, but it definitely changes your play call, and that one hurts, man. Fourth and two is one thing. Fourth and seven's another, and you had a couple receivers down here talking to each other as they didn't know who was supposed to be up and who was supposed to be back. And Connor's got to see that and get him settled.
Takes a snap again, fakes right, throws it down the middle, has Carl open in one-on-one coverage, and Dunlap bats it away, and good defense downfield into the end zone by Dietz, and it falls incomplete, and the Streaks will give it up on downs.
I don't know if he saw the free safety there, if he hit him right out of
sooner.
The line, just like a, sooner, just like a tight end pop or something.
Yep.
We had that, but
I get the play. You got a 6'5 kid down here. You know, you throw it up in the air and see if he can make a play. But if he could have, in a pre-snap read, seen that safety was 12 deep, throw that ball on a line a little sooner and maybe you have something. But, hey, good drive. We flipped the field, and now Dunlap's got a long way to go.
Eagles take over at their own 22-yard line. Scoreless game. Silver Streaks gave it up on or had punted away the first possession, gave it up on downs a second possession. Dunlap threw an interception on its opening possession. Take over here with 4:27 to go. Swing pass to the outside into the flat, and it's complete into the hands of Dylan Combs. And the flag down as he gets the first down to the far side of the field, taken down right at the marker. But the flag down back at the 26-yard line.
I must have been out in space somewhere because the back judge threw that flag.
Yeah, who is playing corner over there? Is that McBride?
Can't see on the far side.
Yeah, I think that's McBride.
Is.
That's who got held. You know, as a cornerback, there's nobody wider than you. And on a play like that, you can't let somebody get outside. And he did there on that play. And it's not like, you're not going to be coached that way. You're not going to give that up. So the only way that could happen is to be held.
Walk it back to the 17-yard line.
So we got first down again and 15.
Yep. Back judge, you guys mentioned Chris Smith. We didn't mention the line judge Chad Davis and the linesman Lynn Pease on this officiating crew, joining the referee Chet Lean and Jason Danner. First and 15 for the Eagles as we approach the 4-minute mark of the opening quarter. There's the first straight handoff. It goes to Curry and finds a small hole. The Streaks close it down, and he's able to get across the 20 to about the 22. Nope, sorry, they're going to back it up to the 19.
Either Aaron Carl got really lucky to not get called offsides there, or he just timed that absolutely perfectly.
He timed it. Yeah, he timed that perfectly.
He was through there very, very quickly, which is good.
Yeah, the only problem is that he couldn't slide right down the line and make the tackle because
he got
had
too deep.
Well, you have to respect the quarterback, too, because if he pulls that and Aaron goes after the guy with the ball down the line, that quarterback runs free for a first down. So you got to be careful of that.
Now we've got a timeout on the field as Dunlap uses its first with 3:26 to go here in this opening quarter. As we mentioned, a beautiful night. Didn't tell you what the conditions were when we got started.
Perfect. That's what they are.
Yes. Doesn't matter.
Awesome.
It's just perfect.
We got a great. It's beautiful down here. We got low 70s and no humidity and no wind. It's fantastic.
Cardinals, if you're tuning in tonight expecting to hear the Redbirds, forgetting that high school football season is underway. They were postponed at home against Cincinnati tonight anyway because of rain. Silver Streaks, meanwhile, it might be a good time to talk about what's ahead in the conference season, because only two games in the non-conference season for the Silver Streaks, with the addition of Geneseo and Sterling to the Western Big Six. It's been much talked about, but it is now a reality, and the Silver Streaks, for the first time ever, will play only two non-conference games, and then the remaining seven will be in the Western Big Six, a non-conference game next Saturday at Centralia, and then Geneseo at home 2 weeks from tonight to open the Big Six. We'll talk more about the impact of that and how things will shake out on the schedule the rest of the way because of it. Coming out of the Dunlap timeout, second and 13 Eagles. Chatterton in the shotgun, looking left, throws that direction. It's complete on the sideline and no gain as the hit made immediately by David Vaynerman, who read it beautifully, made the tackle right at the spot where the catch was made. They'll actually give him a yard on the catch, and it'll bring up third and long.
You know, Vanderman's a little undersized to be playing on the inside. He does so because his motor and his strength is so good. In space, he's even better. out there in space. He's a sure-handed tackler, probably as sure-handed as the Streaks have. He's shown it tonight.
Third and long for the Eagles. Deep in their own territory, just across the 20-yard line, under 3 minutes to go in the first quarter of a scoreless game. The rush is on from the left, and Chatterton slips it, gets free, looks downfield. Now he's going to scramble with it, avoids one tackle at the 20, steps up the sideline, and gets the first down, finally running out of bounds in the Galesburg sideline at the 38-yard line, close to the 39.
Hunter Davina's going to learn, okay, and I'm sure they'll talk to him about it. When you're going on the, you know, the blind side of the quarterback, you go for his shoulder that's further downfield. Because what happens is if he spins to get out of that contact, and he's going to the shoulder that's in front, he's going to miss, and that's what happened there. So they'll correct that on film, and hopefully, you know, next week or moving forward, or even if they can correct it now, that's going to be resolved here soon.
Huge third down conversion for Dunlap. Right. Keeps the drive alive and gives them some space now with the ball, nose of the football, sitting in the near hash mark of the 39-yard line. 2.5 minutes to go, opening quarter. First down, Eagles. Handoff left. The running back, Curry, runs into Blaze Purchase and goes down immediately.
Curry on the carry is dropped for a
loss. It was Davina who finished him off. But Curry ran into Purchase and went nowhere. Davina, loss of a yard. Have our halftime What's Good in Galesburg. What's Good at Galesburg High School. Mm-hmm. We've got that feature back for you that we can talk about as the night goes along. Again, Brad Benowitz, glad to be back with you with Sean Hickey here in the booth, Jake Miller on the sidelines. Third season together and anticipating a great start here tonight of a scoreless game so far as we wind under 2 minutes to go in the opening quarter. Second and 11 Eagles out of the shotgun. Chatterton rolling left, looking downfield, looking middle of the field. Now the ball stripped away. Nope. He hangs on to it, comes back into the other direction, but he's out of bounds on the far sideline at the 35. Somebody got him on the arm, pulled the arm down, couldn't knock the ball free. Chatterton loses a couple yards back to the 35-yard line. It'll be third down and about 14.
Yeah. Hunter Davina that time, he learned his lesson, right? He was a lot better that time, broke down, didn't just run full bore, and got enough of him to get him out of bounds. I'm glad, because if he was coming back the other direction, there weren't a lot of black jerseys over here.
Yeah, but the comment about, you know, in order for Hunter to get there, and it's a coverage sack, or to even have a guy close to that, because our coverage has been outstanding. They're running two and three guys into a zone like what we do, but we're covering it much better than what they have so far.
Dunlap three to the near side. Good protection for Chatterton. Throws it down the middle of the field. Coming back for the catch at the 50-yard line is Gabe Calhoun, and that's a yard past the first down marker. He sprinted downfield, and then after about 5 yards from where he made the catch, came back in good man-to-man coverage by the Silver Streaks, but a well-thrown ball and a great catch by Calhoun.
Just been two outstanding third and long plays for Dunlap to keep this drive going. It's got to be a little frustrating. The Streaks playing three, you know, two downs of great football, and then Dunlap makes their plays. We've got to keep the, you know, keep the pressure up in first and second down. We've got to find a way to get off the field.
Dylan McBride was right there on the coverage, you know, just a split second late. Nice pitch and catch. The guy reeled it in and was able to hold on to that with the contact of Dylan there.
Nose of the football at the far hash mark of the 50. Seventh play of the drive through the hands of the intended receiver, Dietz, right at the line of scrimmage. Incomplete. Second down. Stops the clock with just over a minute to go here in this opening quarter.
You know, guys, are you surprised that we're seeing a quarter full of, you know, all the, we got a lot of action, but we don't have any scoring? I know it's, you know, defenses are usually a little bit ahead in the first games of the year, but two teams, you know, throwing the spread out there, and nobody able to put it in the end zone yet.
I think both offenses have done a lot of nice things here.
Yep.
They've moved the ball. You know, it's, you know, it's a matter of time. We know that, but, you know, it's what I anticipate. It's going to be a close game. Every play is going to matter. It's going to come down to penalties and who's going to make, you know, the first mistake. Big pass there.
Chatterton overthrows the intended receiver and the Silver Streak secondary down inside the 15. Little draw play fake at the line of scrimmage, and he dropped back. Had a lot of time to look downfield, but it's incomplete. Brings up third down.
You know, for our listeners to understand, we've got a new defense out there. Last year we ran a 3-5. This year we're running a 3-4. So what that does is if Dunlap was preparing for a shell for our coverage, it'd be a cover three look. what we're doing is we're giving a cover four look. And they've been trying to hit the sidelines or the hash marks is where the opening is going to be in cover three. Really, the open spot is going to be in the middle of the field versus the cover four. And that was the first time they tried to expose that with the pass there. I think the guy had a step on us, but the ball is overthrown.
Third and 10, Dunlap from the 50. They've converted two long third screen downs. The rush is on, throws it, and it falls incomplete. As the intended receiver, Curry, underthrown at the 50-yard line, and the Streaks defense holds here with 58 seconds to go, and a punt upcoming.
So, Nico Delegianis heading back there to return this.
And Rakeem Speaks.
Rakeem Speaks, yep.
Nico will be toward the Galesburg side of the field at the hash mark of the 10. Spinks comes up to the 10 on the hash mark on the far side. And the directional kick heads towards Spinks. And the Streaks back away. Short kick, bounces at the 20, then takes a little Dunlap squirt forward down to about the 16, where the Silver Streaks will have it with 47 seconds to go here in this opening quarter. Still no score. Freshman lost tonight, 27-7. You guys were talking about offense. In that game, Dunlap and Galesburg both scored the first time they touched the ball. It was 7-7. Right. Or 7-7. That was like 40 seconds. I don't think there was even 30 seconds off the clock. Yeah. And then the game settled in after that.
Well, the halftime score, wasn't it that 27-7 at halftime?
Yes, yep. And that's what it ended
up. And, you know, our defense settled down and did a really nice job in the second half. We had a nice scoring opportunity about halfway through the third period there to score, but it stalled out. We didn't get it. But, you know, we got to see those guys improve during the game and put up a nice second half.
Here's the wishbone formation for the Streaks again. Handoff goes to
Bannerman.
As he got tripped up in the backfield, stumbles forward to the 20. See where they mark him down. We're going to put it just back 19. To the 19. So it'll be a gain of 3 on first down as we wind under 30 seconds to go in this opening quarter.
I think Coach Wash is just fine letting this thing run down now. We can talk about the play clock changes this
year,
too.
Yep.
It's more the college game now where the play clock starts as soon as the previous play is over and you get 40 seconds from that point. The 25 second play clock is now gone except for after penalties, incomplete passes, any stoppages like that. So the quarter will wind down here.
And a scoreless first quarter as the season is underway at Van Dyke Field. Galesburg and Dunlap heading into the second quarter with no score. You're listening to Galesburg High School Football on WGIL and WGIL.com.
You just crashed your car, had an accident, and you don't know what to do.
Dave's Auto Body.
You better call Dave's.
Live coverage of GHS Silver Streaks football on WGIL is brought to you in part by attorneys James Blake and Tricia Blake Miller at Blake Law Office in Galesburg. And by the UPS Store on the corner of Main and Seminary in beautiful downtown Galesburg. Proud to bring you the Silver Streaks on WGIL.
93.7 FM and 1400 AM WGIL.
One quarter gone at Van Dyke Field, home opener and the season opener for the Galesburg Silver Streaks. No score after the first 12 minutes of play. Galesburg will have the ball, second and 7 from its own 19 as we get ready to start the second quarter. Since we're into the second quarter, good time to talk about what's coming up at halftime, Sean, as you continue your series of What's Good at Galesburg.
Yeah, you know, I always want to start off the year with talking to, and with every week we have Principal Houston on there, but every year I want to start off with talking with Dr. Asklund, Superintendent of Schools. This conversation, which you'll hear at halftime, is really a lot about the construction that's going to be coming up starting this year, the buildings that are happening, the contracts that are already there, and then what we'll be looking forward to next summer in terms of that construction as well.
First play, second quarter, Ayton rolling right.
Back the middle.
Throws it down the middle, intended for Grant Ayton, and he overthrows him in Dunlap territory at about the 47. Ayton got in behind the defensive secondary, but then by the time the ball came down, they had recovered, and the ball overthrown a little bit anyway as the Streaks went long on the first play of the second quarter. Brings up 3rd and 7.
You know, that's the type of play where tonight they're going to go back home and he's going to say, hey, we used to do this in the backyard. I thought you were faster than that.
Yeah, and I'm sure his little brother's response will be, come on, man.
I was open. You should have hit me.
I was open because he had two steps.
As brother should.
Yeah.
And you know that.
Yep.
3rd and 7. Short drop by Ayton. throws it to the near side, and he overthrows and intended for Justice Gatson on the near side. And that was thrown high, and coverage was there anyway, so the Streaks with a quick three and out on their third possession of the game that starts the second quarter. And we're only 11 seconds into the period, and Dunlap will get it back on a punt here.
And the Streaks, you'll see various formations for the Streaks to punt from. The last their two punts today have been obvious punting situations. So you get the more traditional, I don't know, kind of tight punt, three linemen in the backfield, and Connor Eaton doing the kicking duties.
Gabe Calhoun creeping forward at his own 46. To the far side of the field, Calhoun receives it at the 47, rolling left, trying to get some room to run. Gets a blocker at the 40, down to the 30, gets another blocker, and finally bumped out of bounds by Ayton at about the Galesburg 20-yard line. So a big run back by Gabe Calhoun, and Dunlap will have terrific field position. They're going to mark him out at the 24. We're just underway in the second quarter.
Jake, that looked like the return was set up there as a wall.
Yeah.
The old school.
Yeah.
Kick it down and pull some guys out on one side of the field and then run that direction. It works if you can get to the wall,
yep.
Which they were able to that time. And
usually,
get
usually you got to break one tackle to get to the wall, and if you do that, then you have some open space, and that's what happened. So a real short field for Dunlap. The Streaks defense has so far held true.
I was looking at the replay of that. It looked like Grant got pushed in the back. He was the one that lost the container, but I think he got blocked in the back.
Casey Erickson splits out wide to the right, two wideouts left with a single setback. Curry, Chatterton looking to the right side.
That's
going to
be there.
With a little slant across the middle. It is complete to Erickson, and he's down inside the Galesburg 10 to about the 9-yard line. On a crossing route right to left, and Dunlap moves the chains. First and goal of the season for either team after a gain of 15.
Yep, Sean's right. That is a little bit of a weakness in the defense, especially when it's quick drop like that. The linebackers can't get into the hook curl position.
Correct.
And so that's something that I'm sure they saw on tape and something they'll look to continue to exploit until we make an adjustment.
First and goal just inside the Galesburg 10 of the 9. Chatterton in the short
gun. Counter.
Hand off right. Curry bounces to the outside, slips one tackle. And coming in from the backside, finally dragging him down, was Max Carr.
Max Carr.
And they'll actually give Curry about a gain of 3. It'll be second and goal to the 6. There's Max Carr, great story. Injured in a car accident last summer. Missed the whole season with a broken arm. And he's been chomping at the bit as much as anybody to get this season underway. Good to see him get into the stat book with a tackle there. So Curry, a gain of 3, brings up second and goal from the Galesburg 6 now. Curry's carried it 3 times for 14 yards tonight, and he lines up just to the left of Chatterton in the short gun. 10:20 to go of a scoreless game here in the first half. Snap to Chatterton, swings it to the left. Pass complete, gets a block, diving toward the end zone, and down at the 1-yard line is Dietz, the receiver. Dove for the end line, but the official right on top of the play said the knee was down at the 1. It'll be a gain of 5, and it'll bring up 3rd and goal.
Now, on that play, Jake, he was right in front of you. Yep. Dylan McBride gambled on that, didn't he? He tried to bust it and get underneath, but he wasn't able to get there, which gave the edge on the outside and a few extra yards. Now, if he's able to get underneath that block, he's got to tackle for a loss. He gambled and missed it.
Here we got Dunlap. We'll see. They're exclusively in the shotgun. So they're in the 1, and the Streaks do have a chance to still make a tackle for a loss.
Nose of the football, the near hash mark of the 1. To the left side, they go to a big kid.
He's in. Yeah.
And he scores easily. And they go to, all right, that was
34, Mitchell Gore.
I was wondering if we're going to see Mitchell Gore earlier, but you can see the. With the size of that young man,
yes,
what a benefit he is in a goal line situation, and he scored easily from a yard out. So the run back on the kickoff return by Gabe Calhoun is the key to that drive, which set up Dunlap with the short field down to the 24, and they took it in just 4 plays later. A 6-0 lead with the extra point pending. A rocket through the uprights. It's 7-0 Dunlap, but a long way to go. 9:29 to go here in this first half. You're listening to Silver Streaks Football on 93.7 FM and 1400 AM WGIL.
Silver Streaks Football on WGIL is brought to you in part by Office Specialists, providing solutions for your business. By Templeton Roofing, Galesburg's oldest and most experienced roofing contractor. Visit them at templetonroofing.com. And by Tom Irons and Accounting Systems on Simmons Street in downtown Galesburg.
Why does the living room go downhill?
Well, we saved a lot of money on the foundation.
There's some things that have to be done right to make sure your project turns out the way you want, like site prep, foundation, and concrete. So go with Courtright Construction of Oneida, the right choice for your next project.
It sounds good on AM, but sounds even better on FM. 93.7 FM, 1400 AM, WGIL.
7-0 Dunlap over the Silver Streaks, 9:29 left in the first half. In the opener of the 2019 football season, Brad Benowitz, Sean Hickey from the press box, Jake Miller from the sidelines. Silver Streaks down for the first time this season. Let's see how they respond. They've been able to move the ball most successfully on their second possession of the game. Not so much the first and third possessions. See if they can get some rhythm back in the offense here and move it downfield. Jake Schaberg lines it up at the 40-yard line, and a line drive kick down the middle of the field. Backs up Egyptiaco, scoops it up at the 2, and running to the near side. Tries to slip past the tackle, does at the 20, and then bounces to the outside, run out of bounds at about the 28. Not a bad return by Alex, and the Silver Streaks will take over. 9:23 to go first half.
Looks like we had a return right set up there, and as luck would have it, they kick it to the left. So Alex had a long ways across the field to get there, and when he did, there was an opening.
Yeah.
But, you know, you have that much field to cover, then the defense or the kicking team here is able to adjust. But still, nice return. Got the ball out to 28-yard line.
Silver Streaks wearing the new uniforms, black on top, white pants, neon yellow piping on the jerseys and the numbers, which stand out very nicely, especially for those of us at the press box trying to bring you the action. Ayton in the gun, hand off to the right side. McBride tripped up in the backfield and stumbles back to the line of scrimmage for no gain on first down.
Kind of player there lost his helmet. Looks like it kind of came off a little cattywampus. And because of that, as the IHSA rules, he has to take a play. He has to leave for one play. Make sure that helmet is strapped on correctly.
Matching what's happening at the upper levels of football. It's been in place for several years now.
Yep.
Gatson and Vaynerman split wide to the left for the Silver Streaks. To the near side, Aaron Carl. Single setback in the backfield to the left of Ayton. Looks into the flat, pump fakes left. Now cuts it to the right side, tucks it in. Crosses the 30, hit and taken down at the 32-yard line for a gain of 4.
Nice hard run there.
Yeah, lowered the shoulder there. He had a linebacker out there to try to beat, and Ryan Shook for Dunlap. And, he put his head down, got a couple, and a pretty manageable 3rd and 6 coming up.
Silver Streaks 1-for-3 on third downs in this game so far. First opportunity here in the second quarter, trailing 7-0, 8:20 to go in the first half. McBride back in at running back. One in the slot left. Two wideouts that direction.
Second level.
Ayton rolling left, still with it. Now tucks it in. Nobody there to throw it to, so he just has to try to stumble forward. Backs his way forward. He gains maybe a yard out of all that, and it'll bring up 4th and 5. Good coverage by Dunlap. Nothing there for the Silver Streaks to do.
Yeah, we did our flood there again, and that time we ran it to the wide side of the field, and they covered that better. Earlier on with their, I think that second series, we had some success. We hit that level, second level and third level to move the ball at field, and Dunlap has adjusted and covered that a little bit better.
Gabe Calhoun, who had the big return on the previous punt that set up the Dunlap scoring drive, backs up to his own 32. Ayton gets the punt away,
nice
down the middle of the field, and Calhoun backs off.
Nice good roll. There
it takes a huge Galesburg roll downfield. It bounced at about the 34 30, and rolls all the way down inside to the 17-yard line. 7:18 to go first half. Dunlap leading 7-0, and the Eagles take over. You mentioned Dr. John Aspen. It's not the only guest you'll have at halftime here, Sean.
Yeah, and as always, I'll have on there Principal Houston. And, you know, that's looking at some of what our goals are for the school year and what he wants to get accomplished in the building. Then, you know, it's the start of the new school year this past week, and not just this week, but the past 2 weeks. We have a lot of the sports have kicked off and got going, and so there's a lot of positive things happening at GHS right now.
50-yard putt by Connor Ayton. Dunlap takes over at its own 17-yard line. Chatterton hands off. Curry straight up the middle, finds a little bit of a hole, then wrapped up as he crosses the 20 to the 22-yard line.
Kane Johnson on the tackle there.
Right as he came out of that hole, too. So Johnson got him at just the right time. Still picks up 5 on first down.
So while we have a second here, I messaged the 8th grade head coach. The 8th grade football team right now is 2-0. And just yesterday they beat Moline John Deere 30-6. They're 2-0. And the 7th grade will play their first game tomorrow.
We should probably mention when the next game in the high school football program is, because that's another change from the IHSA that maybe
correct.
Some people either aren't aware of Ooh. Or don't remember. Boy, pass made complete just in time to Gabe yep. Calhoun as Dylan McBride was creeping up from the secondary and was ready to pick that one off, but Calhoun makes the catch, and it's a completion to the 29 and a first down.
So what you're alluding to is that this game tonight, the preliminary game, was a freshman game. And due to the change in IHSA rules about concussion protocol and those types of things, is if they the preliminary game, if somebody plays in that game, they cannot play the next game. And so conference-wide, we have gone to the preliminary game as being freshmen, and then there will be a JV schedule that will be played on the Monday after the weekend.
First down from the 29-yard line. Handoff goes right, and they go back to Gore, the big fullback who scored the touchdown on the last drive. Now, that term, JV, is key. It's not a sophomore game.
Correct.
It's a JV game, and that's key. The coaches like that. So the change that's happening here because of the opportunities that presents for a lot of players now.
Yeah, you're looking at building your program, and so you have, I think, decent numbers here in the varsity team. You have some of the sophomores that are up to fill any depth that you need to have. But these guys are, you know, you take some of these juniors and maybe even some seniors that don't get much playing time on mm-hmm. Friday and are able to go play on Monday. And
yep.
what that does is it gives some of those juniors or those sophomores that aren't getting as many reps that gets them ready for next year and hopefully prepares them for a successful varsity season.
Pass thrown high to Calhoun to the near side of the 35 off his fingertips, and Dylan McBride right there ready to make the tackle anyway, so it's incomplete, brings up 3rd and 9.
What you're seeing Dunlap do is go to the short passing game. They've you know, tried their shots down the field and overthrown some things, and now, you know, a couple runs, some quick passes, that's how they got a first down. They're trying it again. They're going to have to go a little bit longer here at 3rd and 9.
Well, the past few throws are going to Calhoun against McBride, who Calhoun probably has maybe 4 inches over him.
Yeah.
And so that's what they're trying to expose there.
Whistles as the snap gets away. Another false start by Dunlap. Their second penalty, so that'll make it 3rd and 14 with 5:09 to go here in the second quarter. Dunlap leading 7-0. And, of course, the other change. Talk about the Western Big Six Conference adding 2 teams. Geneseo Sterling, the big decision that made all the headlines in high school football last December was the vote that goes to district play. So the Western Big Six Conference addition may not last very long, although there is a movement afoot yeah. to rescind that vote. So
still not settled.
It's not settled yet. That's exactly right. 3rd and 14 for Dunlap from the Eagles' 15-yard line.
Here comes
a blitz. And another
move.
Flag yeah. down.
Looks like they were going to go run some sort of trade stunt there, Sean, where tackle would go in, Vandermint's going to come on the C-gap, and that just that movement was enough to disrupt things. So the streaks,
yeah.
again, with a real opportunity here to get off the field, to get some field position as well on the punt, just got to play sound, keep the sticks in front of you. It's 3rd and 20 almost, and so we got to know where the sticks are and keep everything in front.
Yeah, we've talked about a number of Galesburg players who are coming back who gained so much experience last year. Dunlap lost a lot of experience, and
yeah.
Streak's taking advantage of it here by creating some of these offsides, these false starts. Here
it's
they come
blitz.
Again.
Good pickup.
Good protection. Vaynerman trying to fight his way through it. Chatterton has to tuck and run to the near side.
And we got a block in the back.
For a block in the back.
So do you take this penalty?
Like.
because you're going to have fourth down, or you might have now a third and, like, shoot, I don't know, like almost 25 if you take this penalty here.
Chatterton was pushed out of bounds short of the 30-yard line out on the Galesburg sideline, so he might have gotten back to the original line of scrimmage. The official still talking over what exactly the penalty
is. I think Wash will decline it. If
Purchase is the one who got pushed in the back.
I don't know. I don't think about taking him back.
Personal
foul. It's a personal foul.
Yeah, 5 minutes to go. You're going to get more.
Oh, personal foul, huh?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it was a crack. They technically called it a crackback block, which is illegal in high school now. So a guy peeled off and hit a defenseless tackler or whatever you want to call them. And
a blind side hit, an ear hole type hit.
Right, you can't do that anymore, and you know, you can't really do that anymore anywhere. So they declined the penalty, and we got fourth and nine.
Yeah, this will give us more time with the clock here.
Currently 5:02 to go. So the ball at the 30, a high snap. Good job by Dunlap to corral. A very short and very high kick to the near sideline, the Galesburg sideline. Bounces just across into Galesburg territory and bounces backward to the 50, where the Streaks will have it with 4:54 to play here in the first half, with Dunlap leading 7-0.
You know, field position has not been on the Streak side tonight, but here we go with I think, you know, besides the turnover, this is our best field position, and hopefully we can get something going offensively.
I think even with the turnover, we stepped out of bounds before the 50, so
probably
this is maybe 5 yards better than what we were. But
straight I formation for the Silver Streaks. McBride the up man. The handoff goes to the tailback. And was that Egyptiaco?
No, that was McBride.
Oh, that was McBride. Okay. Took a pretty good hit at the line of scrimmage. Still picked up two out of it.
Couldn't tell if that was more of a lead play or an ISO with Vaynerman there as a lead blocker, if he was trying to kick out or go to the linebacker. But he didn't have much room to go anywhere. But we got about a yard and a half out of it.
Dre Egyptiaco to the left as a wide out. Short drop by Ayton, looking right, dumps it to the near side and underthrown and batted out of bounds by the Dunlap secondary. Coming up from the backside, Erickson knocked it out of bounds, incomplete. It'll be third and 8 very quickly here. And Dunlap doing everything it can to get the ball back in a hurry, but still over 4 minutes to go in this second quarter.
Just in this second quarter, just nothing offensively for the Streaks right now.
And, nope.
You know, they're searching and they're trying formation lead some things and but just no rhythm, no complete passes right now, really a bit of a struggle.
Yeah, 5 incompletions in a row for Ayton after he had 3 straight completions earlier in the game. 3rd and 8 here. Looks left, slings it across the
outside.
Middle. Caught
nice
by
move.
Dre, cuts back, and he's got the first down and more to the 30.
Come on, speed,
far
speed.
Side 20.
How's
trying to outrun
yes,
him.
Sir.
The 10. He takes it to the corner, and the Silver Streaks have their first score of the season.
What a move. He got
absolutely.
The ball. He got his right foot in the grass, stopped his forward progress, cut outside. That poor corner just lost his shorts there, and off he went to the races for a touchdown.
Running a slant to the middle of the field, like he said, put his foot in the ground and cut it to the sideline. And that's what we talked about. That playmaking ability was absent last year, and what a great play to watch.
A term I heard this summer I thought it'd be great to use, quick as a hiccup.
Nice.
48-yard touchdown, catch and run from Connor Ayton to Dre Egyptiaco, who on the slant just stopped on a dime and cut back the opposite direction and got the speed going to free himself up.
Got it in there, yep.
Olivas gets the kick through the uprights, and we are tied. 4:07 to go in this first half. You're listening to Silver Streaks Football on 93.7 FM and 1400 AM WGIL.
Looking for quality cabinets but don't think you can afford it? RP Lumber Designers can work with any budget. They'll show you how to have the quality cabinets you want at a price you can afford. They'll help you make your Pinterest dreams come true. Visit them today and experience the RP difference.
Live coverage of GHS Silver Streaks football on WGIL is brought to you in part by Arby's on North Henderson and Galesburg. They'll hang the big hat up on the sign so you can see it. And by Sabrina's Bridal and Prom on Main Street in downtown Galesburg, where you're always one of a kind.
We are the only nation in the world with a demonstrably growing economy.
The Rush Limbaugh Show, starting at 11 weekday mornings, WGIL.
Replay scoring drive for the Silver Streaks. Covered 50 yards in 47 seconds. The 48-yard touchdown pass and run. And the completion to Dre Egyptiaco. The extra point by David Olivas. And we are tied at 7. Shades of last year when these two teams were knotted at 7 in the first half. We know how that one turned out. Still 4:07 to go in the first half here as the Silver Streaks ready to get the kick underway with Olivas and the ball teed up at the 40. Good time to thank Coach Mike Washabaugh, who's just been fantastic to work with now in his second season. And he's allowed us to key into the Streaks' video system so we can watch replays, which allows us to be able to look back and see key things that happened to let you, our listeners, know some of those key plays that take place. And Sean's analyzing the video now, and we're very appreciative that Coach Washabaugh has shared that opportunity with us so we can enhance our coverage for you, our listeners.
And if you had any, you know, inkling at home as to did we overplay that catch and cut by Dre, I watched the video of it, and that poor kid, I mean, he put one little move and he was off to the races, and he 2 yards, that kid ran the other direction and could not recover that. So what a great move by Dre Egyptiaco there.
Well, and I'm just so impressed by the quick footwork that he did, running left to right to be able to stop and cut back and go and just turn it back around as quickly as he did. Streaks were offside on the run up to the kickoff, so that'll be a 5-yard penalty, and Olivas will kick off from the 35 now.
You know, I was fortunate that my last year of coaching eighth grade football, I had that sophomore group, and there wasn't much that those guys could not do in eighth grade. They were really fun to coach.
Olivas with a low spinning kick. And the run-up catch made at the 20-yard line, straight up the field by Calhoun.
Too high.
Ambles his way and crosses the 40-yard line before he's pulled backward. So he'll advance it to about the 42, where Dunlap will have pretty good field position. 4 minutes to go here in this first half of a tie ball game.
You know, he caught the ball, what, about the 20-yard line?
Yeah, that's the thing. That 5-yard penalty hurts more than it, you know, just you think 5-yard penalty, no big deal. But that hurts, especially with an accurate leg. We saw it on the PAT, but he's not the guy that's going to kick it in the end zone either. So
it was a low line drive.
Right,
yeah.
It was short, and that has left Dunlap with really good field position after the kickoff.
Yeah, and he was able to catch that ball in a run,
full
speed, and you know he's 10 yards before anybody's close to him. So.
So from the Dunlap 42-yard line, Chatterton the handoff to Curry, bounces off one tackle, gets down low, and angles himself forward to the 45-yard line for a gain of 3 on first down. And we'll see how much Dunlap wants to keep it on the ground. As long as they can move the ball forward, they're going to try to manage the clock here heading toward the first half and try to get one into the end zone and deny the Silver Streaks another possession.
That was a nice tackle there by Cannon Klein, a sophomore inside linebacker who came up. He took on a pulling block and got low and worked his way through to get the guy, the running back, around his legs and take him down.
Nose of the football right on the Dunlap 45-yard line. 2nd and 7, Eagles. Chatterton clapping out the rhythm, gets the snap, swings it to the near side to Curry, wide open, and he gets forward to the 45 to the 46, where he runs into Dylan McBride, and a stop made for a short gain of a yard.
And we're going to get a little, oh, dang it, Max. Okay, so we had a little extracurricular activity. Dunlap was going to get flagged first, and then Max decided to celebrate. You know, the first game back in a while, and so he's now going to get an offsetting. So we're going to.
I see 3 flags.
Yeah, 2 guys got Max. The other guy got the Dunlap guy first. So we're going to get an offsetting taunting on both sides.
Mike Washabaugh now heading out because the officials are closer to his side of the field, asking for an explanation, and they escort him right back to the sideline.
Yeah.
Offset. Yep.
But the play stands, right, because it was at the end of the play, so we're still going to come up with third down.
Yes, it's after the play. The play will stand. It'll be offsetting. You know, and again, the second guy gets caught. The first guy actually got caught this time, too, but the second guy got caught. They both got caught. So, you know, it would have been nice to, you know, keep your composure a little bit there and put Dunlap back instead of having 3rd and 6. So it had 3rd and 20-ish.
Was it physical or verbal taunting that started? You're down on
the
field.
The first penalty was physical. He threw Max down
after the play.
The play, Max didn't like it, of course, as nobody would. And if you see the penalty flag on the ground, it's harder, easier said than done. You got to walk away and let the referees take care of things.
Yeah, on the replay, I can see the hit on Max. It was clear that there were 2 guys that were on him, and it was after the play. But then whatever he did in retaliation was not on the screen.
And that was verbal. It wasn't anything physical. It was just verbal, but they called taunting.
A lot of discussion going on by the officials.
Yeah, I think they're deciding if they're going to let the play stand or not, and it's the right call to let it stand, and they're going to let they're going to do it right.
There's definitely as after the play.
Yep.
All right, so third and six from the Dunlap 46-yard line. Ball spotted at the near hash mark, under 3 minutes to go of a tie game. Back to pass. Chatterton flushed out.
Rolled another
right,
hold.
And it gets knocked down from the backside.
Good grief.
No flag down. Chatterton runs free up the middle to the Galesburg 40 and slides down inside to the 37-yard line. A Galesburg player got knocked down.
Missed a bunch.
Chasing after Chatterton. Got pushed down from behind. No call was made, and now the Eagles have a first down inside the 40 to the 39-yard line.
Aaron Carl had a pass to the quarterback, and he got held from behind. I think the whole sideline here saw that. And then as the guy recovered after the hold, came and pushed him right in the back. Unfortunate.
So a gain of 15 by Chatterton on the scramble.
Just a myriad of things that were illegal there that didn't that got away scot-free.
Absolutely.
All right, first down. Eagles from the Galesburg 39. Chatterton flushed out of the pocket, steps left. Now the coverage takes him down back at the 43-yard line.
Oh, that's Hunter Davina.
Nice.
He had defenders to his left and to his right. Chatterton stepped up, made the defender to his left miss, and then turned and ran right into Davina for a loss of four.
This running clock is now starting to become an issue here at halftime as we're hitting the two-minute mark.
So take it back to the 43-yard line.
Streak sign to hold on. And, you know, it would be real imperative, obviously, to keep him out, but Dunlap will also get the ball first as we come out of halftime.
Correct.
So we don't want a two-for-one situation happening here.
Dunlap has used one timeout. Minute 45 to go here in the second quarter. Tied at 7. And the Streaks jump into the neutral zone, but Dunlap does not snap it away. Now they do. Chatterton back to pass. Good protection. Now gets it away to the far side and overthrows his intended receiver on the far side of the field. And it'll be third down and 14 after the incomplete pass.
Yeah, Coach Watch has a decision here, Sean. And you know, when we send the blitz with the mobile quarterback, you have that issue where he's scrambled and he's shown that he can get the first down with his legs.
Yeah.
There they play coverage. The trade-off is we need our front four guys to get some pressure on him or he'll have all day back there. So third and long in this situation, what do you think we'll see?
Pressure.
Yeah, I agree.
You know, and keep in mind, too, we didn't show pressure there, but we're only rushing three guys.
Right.
You know, we have a three-man front, so unless, you know, may have missed, maybe Carl had walked up.
Yeah, Carl was walked up on that one.
All right.
Because there's only one receiver to this side. It's the same thing. Now they split twins here, so now we're empty.
Timeout.
Timeout.
They're going to call timeout. Yep, there was looked to be a lot of confusion in the Dunlap set because they had guys moving all over the place. So they're going to call a timeout, one remaining with a minute 32 to go, and third and 14 from the Galesburg 43-yard line. We're tied at 7. Next week at Centralia, we've mentioned that earlier in the broadcast. Should mention now that is a Saturday game. So Mike Washabaugh just asking him and in the past, when the Silver Streaks made that long trip down to Marion a few years ago, the Streaks actually left on Friday afternoon, did an overnight. Centralia not as far. They're going to just take the bus down Saturday morning. It'll be a 1 o'clock start, 12:30 our pregame next Saturday. So it'll be a little unusual. Just get the high school football season underway and then no Friday night game. Yeah. And then conference play starts the following week when the Geneseo Maple Leafs come to town. As the new Western Big Six Conference gets underway, as the Streaks face one of those two new conference opponents. Geneseo coming off a disappointing season, 4-5 last year, although one of those four wins was against the Silver Streaks in week two last year. Now it'll be a conference game.
Dunlap coming out, gun empty, two receivers to the near side and three to the Y.
Again, Chatterton clapping the hands, getting the rhythm. There's the snap, back to pass, a little bit of pressure, throws it down the middle of the field to a wide-open receiver at the 20-yard line into the numbers of Seth Haley for a first down. Good use of the timeout, and they move the chains down to the red zone.
You know, I alluded to that earlier about with our cover four look, and we have, you know, as we give a shell out there, we kind of have a say, you know, for our listeners, we have two corners that are going to be over the numbers, and we have our two safeties over the hash. The middle is going to be open, and they certainly hit that spot right there in the middle. It's a soft area in our coverage.
Watching their kicker in pregame, they are in field goal range right now.
For sure. Dunlap 4-for-6 on third downs in this game. This one gives him a first down at the 20. Hand off to Curry. Slips a tackle at the line of scrimmage. Gets down to the 15-yard line. 1 minute to go in the first half. Tied at 7. It'll be 2nd and 5 from the Galesburg 15.
But, you know, Jake, to your point about their place kicker, they have no net over there. I see nobody warming up.
Yeah.
Well, they have one timeout remaining. As they wind it down to 40 seconds.
There's movement.
Yep.
That's going to be 5 yards back.
So that'll take the 5 that they just gained on first down and move it back to the 20. And it'll bring up 2nd and 10. All the penalties in this game, other than the offsetting personal foul penalties, all the penalties have been of the 5-yard variety. And it'll be 2nd and 10 Dunlap. Again, from the Galesburg 20-yard line. 39 seconds to play here in the half. Tied at 7. Dunlap thinking touchdown all the way right now. Again, with one timeout still to use.
And the clock running at 30 seconds. There's a
timeout. It shouldn't have been.
The white hat wound it.
Did he?
Yeah.
Well, okay, so you had a running play and then a penalty. So it goes back. They're going to reset it.
After an explanation from Coach Wash to Coach Washbaugh first.
Right, he might be asking Coach Wash to call up to put time back on.
So the explanation. So 39 seconds. 39 seconds on the clock. So it's a 31.2 right now, so they're going to reset the clock to 39 seconds. And then wait for the referee to signal. And now he says start it up. So here we go. 2nd and 10 Dunlap after the penalty from the Galesburg 20-yard line. Tied at 7.
Here comes
Streaks
the blitz.
Showing Screen. Blitz. Screens it away. Pass complete to Curry. Wrapped up at the 10-yard line. And
short.
Thrown down at the sideline.
Yep, you got it.
I think he's got the first down. It's a tackle made right at the first
down.
He's marker.
Right on it. The ball is on the 10.
Cannon Klein with the tackle.
Taken
out of bounds. Stops the clock with 22 and a half seconds as they figure out where to spot this.
The ball's on the 10. I don't even think they're going to bring the chains out. I think they're going to...
Yeah, they've already... Well, one stick was down.
What are they going to say? It's a first down?
Yep.
Yeah, there
okay,
we go.
First and goal from the 10.
Again, with one timeout remaining for the Eagles. Tied at 7, 22 and a half seconds to go here in the first half. Chatterton with a snap, looking left, looking right, now steps up in the pocket, breaks free, scrambling to the left side and steps out of bounds inside the 10 to about the 8. Smart move by a well-schooled quarterback, stops the clock with 15 and a half seconds left and gives him a chance to run a couple more plays. Ends up a gain of just a yard. Second and goal from the Galesburg 9. Chatterton's run the ball 6 times in this game for 36 yards.
Is he their leading rusher?
He is. Isaiah Curry's got 19. 15 and a half seconds to go. Looks right. Fade into the corner. Man-to-man coverage, and it's incomplete. And no flag down. Coverage on the far side of the field to...
That's Rakeen.
That is Rakeen. All right.
Rakeen's got to be careful.
I was a little concerned.
The officials are letting him know that Rakeen got up. Uh-oh. We got a sideline penalty here.
Oh, you're right. Way over here on the Galesburg sideline. Back at the 13-14 yard line. Hope that's not roughing the passer. Because it's back behind the line of scrimmage. Oh, sideline warning. Sideline warning against the Silver Streaks. Better not be on you, Jake.
No, this one is... he already has warned me. He came down earlier and warned me, but he was nice about it. He's not being as nice to Coach Wash right now.
Doesn't look like it's a very nice conversation.
No, I think... I'm not sure if Coach Blackwell got a little too far out. That's the guy he's talking to.
Well, either way, it's incomplete. I was a little concerned, especially because Rakeen had his back to the play and he had his hands up, and I wasn't sure how much contact there was over there, but they let it go. 10 and a half seconds to go. 3rd and goal from the 9.
Sprint out.
Chatterton rolling right. gets freed up of the block, and that's going to be an illegal block as Chatterton rumbles up the middle inside the five down to the two-yard line.
That's coming back.
Was that Aaron Carl who had pressure on him as he got taken out from the backside? Okay. They're going to call it a hold, actually.
Yes.
A hold.
And that's deep, too. It was behind the line of scrimmage, so 10 yards from there. Now you make this field goal coming up. You make this field goal a little bit more difficult. He's got the leg.
Be about a 40-yarder.
Right. But now that's a big penalty, very big penalty. He's kicking into what breeze we have. It's not much.
Nope. And there's only 2 seconds left. So people at home might be wondering, well, with the holding penalty, it's still third down. Why are they kicking? Well, it's because there's only 2 seconds left.
Correct.
So the ball's going to be placed at the 30 after the snap.
All right, the officials are calling a powwow here. Not sure what there is to discuss.
You know, if I'm Brett Kaslick for Dunlap, I don't know if I'm very happy about this conversation. My kicker's out there ready to go, and they're making him stand there and wait. 2.1 seconds on the clock.
They're discussing, do they run the clock? I'm wondering if they – see, this is the official's first game under these rules, too. So as soon as this ball's set, do they run the clock? And he's telling the coach that he's going to have to call a timeout because you're not going to snap it in that 2.1 seconds. So you're going to get a Dunlap timeout.
Okay.
And that's what they were discussing. So they were doing it right. They do run the clock there.
Well, we've alluded to some of the changes already, but we really haven't gone into a whole lot of detail of any of them. But it's a valid point, a great point you make, Jake, that they're adjusting to all this just as everybody else is. In fact, there was a situation in the freshman game where the folks operating the timer up here had to be reminded that you've got to start it. I mean, as soon as the ball is down, you got to start it. You don't wait for the white hat anymore because of the 40 seconds that we talked about earlier. And, you know, I think as coaches, you've got to appreciate the fact that these guys are talking it over and make sure they're getting it done right.
Yeah, I would agree with that, too. And like I said, it's both everybody out here, the officials and both teams, are dealing with this and learning. And you know, by the end of the season, it'll be old hat to everybody. Yeah. It's designed to speed the game up, the high school game, just like every other game, I guess, you know, with attention spans and whatnot, needs to be sped up. The streaks are going to bring David Vannerman back here at the goal line. I don't know if he can. You can return a field goal kick in high school football.
Well, it would have to.
If it was real short. If it was real short. And
from what you were watching in the pregame, it's not going to be way short.
No, and he can't catch it in the end zone like you see in the NFL and run it out. It would have to be outside of the end zone. So I don't know that is the most efficient use, but he's also back here in case of a fake. You know, be the last line of defense in case of a fake. So we get another timeout here, and this is the most hyped up field goal kick we've had.
This is a timeout by the Silver Streaks, by the way, because Dunlap was out. So you think Mike Washabaugh sent that out there just to show it to Dunlap and then call timeout and send it back out for what he really wanted to do once he saw what Dunlap was lining up.
I think you're right, because Vannerman's not coming back here. Nope. A little gamesmanship, maybe, and I think he wants to talk to his guys to set up the block. You know, you can't end the half on the defensive penalty, so you tell him to stay off the center, don't hit the kicker, all those things you got to remind high school kids to do. And now they're just going to come out and base defense.
The kicker is Matt McQuillan. So the ball will begin, again, will be down at the 30-yard line. It'll be a 40-yard field goal attempt here in a tie game. And Mike Washabaugh is going to use a second of his third three timeouts.
Now this one's dicey.
You don't get to carry him over.
So he showed base defense that time.
Uh-huh.
And I bet you see field goal block when they come back out of this timeout.
Meanwhile, the band waits patiently down on the track, down and near the where the teams head into the locker rooms in the field house. And, you know, on a beautiful night like this, you don't mind sitting through a few timeouts.
You know, it's not pouring down rain like week three last year or anything like that.
50-mile-an-hour winds.
The band's excited. Got a lot of kids in their class. These guys practice a lot. I hear them at my house all night long.
And, yeah, they do.
They have one heck of a show planned and all kinds of props and like costumes and all kinds of stuff going on. So it'll be nice to watch that.
Yeah, they put in a late night last night in preparation for today.
Yep. It was 9 o'clock in my house, and I was still hearing them go.
I agree.
All right, let's see if we can try it here. The Streaks do still have one timeout to use.
I'm right underneath the goalpost here.
Tied at 7. 2.1 seconds to go, and he does. And the Galesburg crowd comes to its feet.
Little Bronx
cheer. They're
loving
this. Yep.
The old Bronx cheer.
No, they're liking it. They've got some people standing up here. They like what's going on. Now
student
the student section's
uh-huh.
getting into it. And the players on the sideline are urging them on. And we got some noise going. Really make Dunlap really think about this.
Sure.
Dunlap had to use a timeout in order to set up the field goal attempt. And now Galesburg has used all three of its first half timeouts to drag this out as much as possible. Completely try to throw their rhythm off here. So one way or another, we're going to have it now.
I just hope they don't come out and run a fake now.
or come out in offense.
Yeah, heck with it. We're throwing it out.
I didn't see personnel change. Yeah,
no,
there's a kicker.
We're good.
No,
here we go.
Out there. 2.1 seconds. End of the first half. Tie game at 7. Crowd comes to life.
Streaks in base defense.
40-yard field goal attempt for Dunlap. McQuillan, the snap down. The kick is up. It's got the distance.
It's wide right.
And it's wide
it.
To the left.
Left, sorry.
You're right.
My right.
Our nice left. Shot. So after all that, the strategy, you can say, pays off. And we head to the locker room, tied at 7. Coming up, Sean Hickey's halftime interview with Galesburg District 205 Superintendent Dr. John Asplund and Principal Jeff Houston. And when we come back, first half statistics, a look around at high school games from around the area. Tied at 7 here on the opener. 7-7, Silver Streaks and Dunlap. You're listening to Galesburg High School Football at 93.7 FM and 1400 AM WGIL.
Galesburg Nissan is home with a lifetime warranty. No gimmicks, no deductible, and no expensive service requirements. Galesburg Nissan's lifetime warranty is just that. Unlimited time and unlimited miles. Plus, you get a free loaner car for life if your car needs to be in the shop. And every fifth oil change is free. Yes, for life. We just won our third consecutive Nissan Award of Excellence, recognizing large sales volume and superior customer satisfaction. We want to be your dealer for life, and we'll strive to prove it every day. Galesburg Nissan, home with a lifetime warranty.
It's that time of year. It's football, volleyball, cheerleading, golf, cross country, and soccer. It's time to represent. And Elite Ink is the source for screen printing, embroidery, promotional products, and accessories to outfit your school, club, or business. Want the coolest graphics and freshest designs? You're going to love working with Elite Ink. Design services are 100% free. If you can think it, they can print it. Visit EliteInkPrinting.com and click on Start Your Order for a quote. Get in the game with Elite Ink, where it's more than just a t-shirt.
Well, how's the house selling going?
Not good. We've only had 2 showings and 0 offers. It's been a month. How long did it take to sell yours?
Not long, but we used Century 21. Each listing gets its own website, video virtual tour, and a link to share, so your house gets tons of publicity.
That would help.
They have the largest office in town with 19 agents. They will get your house sold.
For over 60 years, your friends and neighbors have gone with Century 21 Tucker Swanson. When you're ready to buy or sell, visit century21galesburg.com or call 34-HOMES today.
Live coverage of GHS Silver Streaks football on WGIL is brought to you in part by attorneys James Blake and Tricia Blake Miller at Blake Law Office in Galesburg, and by the UPS Store on the corner of Main and Seminary in beautiful downtown Galesburg. Proud to bring you the Silver Streaks on WGIL.
Don't pack up your barbecue. Let the barbecue come to you. Why not have the perfect deck in your own backyard? RP Lumber carries the latest quality composite decking materials you need to have a maintenance-free deck. Visit them today and experience the RP difference.
The official WGIL forecast is brought to you by Justin Cook State Farm, informing you that auto accidents have the highest risk of legal action. Call today to see if you're properly insured. Slight chance for rain overnight with a low of 58. Some sunshine tomorrow with a chance of rain developing and a high of 73. A 50-50 chance of showers and thunderstorms tomorrow night with a low of 62. Sunday, partly sunny and a high of 78. Currently in downtown Galesburg, it's 63 at WGIL.
WGIL's coverage of Silver Streaks football continues with the GHS Halftime Report on 93.7 FM and 1400 AM WGIL.
Welcome to the Halftime Show. I'm Sean Hickey with this week's segment of What's Good at GHS. As always, we have Principal Jeff Houston, but this week's spotlight is on a state of the district. With us tonight, we have Dr. John Asplund, Superintendent of Galesburg Schools. Dr. Asplund, welcome.
Thank you.
Let's go ahead and dive into the construction that's going on and where we're going for that. This year, we started school back a little bit earlier. We had a shorter summer. I know that the students have felt that impact, as well as the teachers and yourself in part two. And then we're going to, with the goal then of having the school year end sooner, allowing for a longer summer next year for construction. We have some construction that's going to be starting up this year. But if you could let our listeners know and the community know about, you know, where we are in that process, what contracts have already been established, which ones are still out there for us to get, and what the timeline is right now for the construction taking place here at 205.
So we start with steel and Lombard. Those projects were planned all of last year. We went out for bid this summer, and those projects will start breaking ground within the next week or so. And those would be planned then to be done at the end of this school year. And then we'll be starting with the King project. That's going out for bid within the next month or so. And then we hope to break ground over there, if everything goes well, in late October. And even though we'd be starting in late October at King, we believe that there's still a really good possibility we could have that building ready to move into the new addition next summer or next fall as well. So if everything goes well at the end of this school year, through the end of this school year, we'll have the King, Lombard, and steel projects, if not completed to the point where we can definitely inhabit those with students and staff. And that would mean then that Gale and Nielsen would close at the end of the year, and those students would move into those buildings. Plus, Silas Willard would add a few more students, and our fifth graders would all move to Lombard next year, along with all our sixth graders. And then seventh and eighth graders would be at Churchill for a couple years while we worked on the high school. And then as it goes for the high school, next summer we would start working on the kitchen. That kitchen was built for 1950s purposes, and now we would be renovating that to suit our current needs. Our food service employees last year told us they'd really like to go back to scratch cooking, you call it, which is like basically home cooking, where the cooks make the food from scratch. And we're going to work on that so that the kitchen at the high school will be responsible for a lot of the cooking for the buildings throughout the district. So we're really excited about that possibility, and that project will start in earnest right when school gets out this year. And yeah, this next summer then, if you know, we're hoping that the weather cooperates, which we know it didn't last year, but if the weather cooperates, we'll be out, I believe, May 19th is the last day of school this year. And then next year we'd be starting much closer to Labor Day, so we'd have a lot longer summer to get that construction done at the high school. And then over the next couple of years after that, high school students would be inhabiting Gale, not all of them because it's not big enough, but we would be moving students in and out as we fixed up classrooms at the high school. So for the next couple of years, then after this year, we'd be working on GHS in phases.
My last question for you tonight is, as you move forward, you know, what are some of the goals that you have this year, whether it be for the district or building level, it could be curriculum or other ideas that you might have just for this year alone?
Well, I'll start by going back 2 years, Sean. So when I got here, I spoke to the staff on day one of that year, where we said we had a three-year curriculum plan. And year one, we worked on our curriculum, both vertically and horizontally articulating that curriculum so that second-grade teachers then could inform the third-grade teachers what they were doing, and all second-grade teachers did the same basic equivalent work. And so that work was completed, although it's always ongoing. In year one, year two, we worked on assessments and student feedback. And then this year, in year three, we're working on 90 minutes of reading and writing for every student every day. And so at the end of this year, we will reevaluate and go on to a new three-year plan for our curriculum. But I've been very, very proud of the work our staff has done in those areas, and feel really great about how far we've gone and how far we've gotten, and really am excited about the future.
Again, that was District 205 Superintendent Dr. John Asplin discussing the state of the district. Now let's talk with Principal Jeff Houston regarding the start of a new school year at GHS. Principal Houston, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me again this year.
All right, we're going to start things off here by asking, looking at Galesburg High School and starting up a new year here, what are some of the goals that you have for the school and the students here at GHS?
Well, I think, when we talk about the goals for the year, it still comes down to, we just want to collaborate, innovate, own, and have a little fun at the high school. I think that's a big piece of what we do as far as the staff. If we can just make sure that, we have good collaboration and that we're innovating in our classrooms and failing forward and with our students, I think that's when the learning really takes place. But then last week, we had a school improvement day where we worked on embedding the reading and the writing rubrics into our curriculum. We also worked on some assessment work through auditing some of the assessments we're doing to make sure we've got the rigor in it that we're looking to have and that it's linking into our essential skills. And then we also talked about some ELL communities and how we can best serve those kids. And then for our SIP goals, as far as our SIP goals for the building, you know, we want our freshman students to be on track. We're focusing on our freshman students, that transition year for them, and then the overall student connectedness piece in the building, and then really focusing on our Scantron scores, how we can make gains in our school universal screening model for Scantron and students.
Sounds good. Now, in talking earlier, we mentioned the five essentials, you know, some of the things that we can get from the students as well as their parents. What are we looking at for the rollout with the five essentials?
Well, I think the thing that we just want to do is make sure, first of all, that we get the a subgroup or a participation in that five essentials to get good data to drive kind of the climate and culture of our building. And that's a good representation from, you know, anywhere from our staff to our community and parents and then our students as well. So we have all those subgroups where we can gain data to drive some of the changes that we're looking to have in our school as far as climate and culture goes. And so that's real important to us. We want to have a safe learning environment for all of our kids, but we want to have a little bit of fun along the way.
Yeah, and you mentioned already talked about Scantron. We've kind of hit that already because one of the first things you want to do when students come in is to get a reliable data when they enter the school. You know, what are the dates moving forward for other Scantron testing as well as, you know, well, you know, we're going to be looking at a mid-year type of assessment, end-of-the-year assessment. And also Think Circa, if you want to, you know, tell the community about that a little bit.
Well, Think Circa is just a platform for our students to really what it is being able to read for content and being able to defend, you know, your reading and making sure that you're able to read that. And then it'll spit out some data on our kiddos so that we can better serve them as far as where they're at in being able to read for information and see where they're at on that. And then our teachers can use that because there's links to what their reading is to their certain curriculum. So there's a platform there as far as meaningful readings for kids to make it relevant in their learning in different curriculums across all curriculums. And so that's just another piece of assessment that we can use to drive the instruction for our teachers and also for our kids. We're trying to, you see a shift in education anymore from that old factory mentality of sit and gets to more of a growth mindset. You know, where are our kids at and where can we take them and what's the best way to get them there?
What do we have for some highlights coming up next week here at GHS?
We would like to welcome everybody out to the Labor Day Parade where our marching streaks will be on display. And that's one of the things. And then remember that we have school pictures on Thursday, and I think that's September 5th. And then Thursday we will host a college and career fair in the Learning Center. Last year we had great participation with that, and I know that Mr. Bredmeyer's worked very hard at getting more representation from area colleges. Also, we have some opportunities for career people to come in and learn about different careers that are local in this region as well. And then our junior college route, some of the junior colleges will be here too talking about some of the things that they offer. And then, you know, I think this is just the time of the year where we're getting many of our silver streaks started with the season. You know, we have boys golf and cross country and soccer and girls volleyball going on. So come out and meet the streaks and, you know, let's go Streaks Nation the second half here. Let's go.
All right. Sounds good. Well, that's a wrap for this week's halftime show regarding what's good at GHS. Thanks again to Superintendent of Schools, Dr. John Asplund, and Principal Houston for their time. Coming up next, we'll have halftime stats and second half action against Dunlap on 93.7 FM and 1400 AM WGIL.
Stay connected to what's happening in Galesburg. 93.7 FM and 1400 AM WGIL, Galesburg's local news.
One of three lawsuits that state's attorney John Pettmeyer had filed against the Knox County Board was dismissed in court yesterday. Judge Raymond Kavanaugh vacated a previous court order that allowed John Pettmeyer to hire a special prosecutor to deal with a glut of cases. Special counsel for the county board, Jeremy Carlin, says that Pettmeyer has acted in accordance with settlement agreements reached last month but has refused to sign the settlement documents. Pettmeyer could not be reached for comment. The chairman of the Winnebago County Board has won approval to hire a lawyer to file a lawsuit against fellow members who have diluted his powers. Frank Haney sought his own lawyer because it would have been a conflict for the state's attorney to represent both sides. Attorney Ken Florey will be paid by taxpayers, and he says the board violated his rights and the will of voters with a March ordinance that took budget and management authority away from him. I'm Cameron Lyne. Top stories at home, top stories from around the world. This is 93.7 FM
and 1400 AM WGIL. Galesburg's News.
Fox News, I'm Rich Dennison. Hurricane Dorian now a Category 4 storm with winds of 130 miles an hour as it approaches Florida. President Trump says government agencies are ready for Dorian's arrival.
FEMA's there. Tremendous work is going on. Many gas trucks are coming in. They're bringing gas from Louisiana and all over.
National Hurricane Center Director Ken Graham warns the storm is a slow mover.
A lot of rain. Slow's not our friend. Slower the storm, 6 to 10 inches of rain in many areas. In some places, 10 to 15.
Dorian's expected to hit the eastern shore of Florida sometime Tuesday with deadly storm surge, torrential rains, and catastrophic winds. The Defense Department reporting another American service member has been killed in combat in Afghanistan. This is the 15th U.S. death in the country this year. 13 died last year. America is listening to Fox News.
Football and auto insurance are very similar in nature. In football, penalties can keep you from scoring, and with auto insurance, not having the right amount of coverage throws up a big flag. Hi, I'm Mark Craddy with Craddy Insurance, your Rockford Mutual Insurance Agency in Galesburg. When I'm on your offensive line, you'll never have to worry about getting tackled, and our money-saving auto home discount is the extra point. Stop by Craddy Insurance on North Henderson Street and find out why Craddy and Rockford Mutual Insurance are the game-winning combination.
Galesburg Nissan is home with a lifetime warranty. No gimmicks, no deductible, and no expensive service requirements. Galesburg Nissan's lifetime warranty is just that. Unlimited time and unlimited miles. Plus, you get a free loaner car for life if your car needs to be in the shop. And every fifth oil change is free. Yes, for life. We just won our third consecutive Nissan Award of Excellence, recognizing large sales volume and superior customer satisfaction. We want to be your dealer for life, and we'll strive to prove it every day. Galesburg Nissan, home with a lifetime warranty.
Right there where that giant tree is, that's where I want the garage. And then I want the sidewalk to wind around where those bushes are.
Need site prep, foundation, or concrete? Call Courtright Construction. They understand how pivotal those beginning tasks are. Give them a call for your next project. Courtright Construction of Oneida.
Silver Streaks Football on WGIL is brought to you in part by Office Specialists, providing solutions for your business. By Templeton Roofing, Galesburg's oldest and most experienced roofing contractor. Visit them at templetonroofing.com. And by Tom Irons at Accounting Systems on Simmons Street in downtown Galesburg.
Did you know you can save about 50% on your air filters by having them cleaned rather than replaced? And Filter Service Center, now part of Mid-State Manufacturing, will even pick them up and deliver them back to you. Your filter's good as new. Filter Service Center at Mid-State Manufacturing.
Nobody covers the Silver Streaks like 93.7 FM and 1400 AM WGIL. Galesburg Sports.
Halftime at Van Dyke Field. Silver Streaks and Dunlap tied at 7. Let's go down to the field. Jake Miller is with head coach Mike Washabaugh in our halftime coaches interview. Brought to you by Century 21, your local leader in real estate. Jake?
Hey, Coach. We were just commenting off the air. There's the most hyped high school field goal I've ever seen. A little gamesmanship there, and the strategy paid off for you.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I was doing some research on huddle highlights, and all of his huddle highlights were soccer because he hadn't played football before until this game. So getting his head, Coach Caslow was flustered on the second one, and then he was flustered trying to chant at our crowd. And, you know, kudos to them for staying packed, still packed, and getting in his head.
Absolutely. Coach, I know this isn't something you don't know, but 10 yards on offense rushing the ball in the first half. Is there a key assignment-wise or just some scheme things to try to get that going?
Keep throwing the ball. They're loaded box. You know, we sat in that last year, and they're just daring us. We have never thrown the ball consistently since I've been here. So that's the answer to everybody. Play man. Put as many people in the box possible, and, you know, we have answers now. You know, I think we've left two scores on the field right now. You know, and hopefully at the end of the game that's not going to be the difference of it.
All right, absolutely. Thanks, Coach.
Thanks to head coach Mike Washabaugh joining us. He'll be the guy. Of course, it was Jay Barshinger for the last few years.
Did you guys catch his answer to the what do we need to do to run the ball better? And what did he say? Keep throwing the ball.
Throw it.
I love it. You know, that's what he wants to do. He wants to throw the ball, and he knows that they are packing the box on us, and that's the issue. And he needs to loosen them up with the pass, so we just got to connect on a few more, and I think he'll get it going.
Our halftime scoreboard brought to you by Courtright Construction in Oneida, the right choice for your next project. Elmwood Brimfield in the fourth quarter leading Mid-County 28-24. Of course, our best wishes to former Silver Streak assistant coach Grant Gulstrand leading the Cougars as they are within 4 points of Elmwood Brimfield in the fourth quarter. Farmington shutting out Stark County 21-0 at halftime. Havana has running clock over South Fulton 42-0. Abingdon Avon with a 41-12 lead over BPC West Prairie. Knoxville up 14-6 over Mercer County. Early second half last we knew there. About 10 minutes to go in the game between Orion and Monmouth-Roseville. Chargers leading the Titans 20-18. Rock Island being shut out by Bradley Bourbonnais 10-0. UT losing to Davenport West at last check 13-6. Moline up big on Alton early. That was 22-7 after the first quarter in that one. And let's see. United trailing Rushville Industry 20-18 at the half. And, Jake, you were the one who found the Peoria High score. You want to share that one?
Yeah, Peoria High playing a conference foe. There's no non-conference games for that conference, and they're playing Champaign Centennial up 70-7 at halftime. A lot of the tweets and stuff are saying hashtag shoot for 100.
Yep, that's just what I was thinking. The quest is on for 100 for sure.
And Sean knows that guy as I do. He'll put it up if he can.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, if he can, he'll do it.
He'll do it.
Yep, there may be 5 seconds on the clock, and if they need a touchdown, he'll go for it.
He'll put it up.
Silver Streaks to kick off with Olivas booting it downfield, taken by Calhoun at the 14-yard line, running up the middle, now sprinting to the right side, spins around, and moves his way forward across the 35 with that little spin, move up to about the 36, maybe the 37-yard line on another good run back. Get through our halftime statistics here in just a moment. Our halftime stats brought to you by Century 21, your local leader in real estate. 57 yards on the ground in the first half for Dunlap. Only 10 rushing yards for the Silver Streaks, as Jake was alluding to with a question to Coach Wash a moment ago. Jackson Chatterton, 6 of 10 passing for Dunlap, 75 yards. Connor Ayton for the Silver Streaks, 4 of 10 passing for 75 yards. And a touchdown, a 48-yarder to Dre Egyptiaco. First down Dunlap as we start the second half of a tie ball game. Chatterton standing, looking left. Pass complete at the 40, spinning Calhoun. Finished off pretty hard on the ending, on the end of that tackle by Nico Delagiannis. It goes as a gain of 7.
Yeah, continuing with a quick passing game, and that's the most successful thing, and that's why, you know, Chatterton has more completions, is just running those quick outs, those 5-yard outs that he turned into 8 yards, and those are effective. It's if do they have the patience to continue just kind of nickel and dime it.
From the Dunlap 45 after a gain of 7. Calhoun, the leading receiving target for Dunlap this game so far, catches another one at the 50. Turns, has a little bit of running room, slips a tackle, and then finally brought down at the Galesburg 47-yard line as he turned. And about the time he tried to run, he ran into Cannon Klein, who was able to stand him up. But it's a first down for the Eagles as they move it into Galesburg territory, a gain of 5.
Well, all they're doing right there with the trips is we're covering it with two guys, and over the top is the safety. So they're running off and kind of just settling down in the middle of that zone, and they're just dumping it right there.
That's 90 yards passing for Jackson Chatterton. For Dunlap, 30 yards receiving for Gabe Calhoun, who also doubles as a basketball player for the Eagles. He's been playing basketball on the varsity level since his freshman year. Straight up the middle on the handoff, and nowhere to go for the running back, Curry.
Seeing these guys grow up, Sean, because he didn't run in there full speed. He sort of chucked his feet, broke down, and made a great tackle in the backfield for no gain.
Yeah, the technique there is a shimmy and get your weight underneath you. So if the quarterback does pull that, he'll be able to react to him as well.
Tie ball game just underway, third quarter. Dunlap's first possession here in the second half as we approach the 10-minute mark of the third quarter, tied at 7. Their drive started back at their own 37-yard line. They've moved it to the Galesburg 47 on 2nd and 10. Out of the short gun, the snap to Chatterton, rolling left. Gets a block, now stops, trying to shake his man. Gets room to throw it downfield along the sideline. Man-to-man coverage and a lot of contact, and the ball drops
on both
incomplete.
Sides. Yep.
Intended for Calhoun again down inside the 20.
Dylan McBride, the receiver adjusted his route. He was trying to run a deep comebacker. When Chatterton scrambled, the kid went downfield for the streak, and Dylan ran with him, had his hands up. It could have, both guys had hands on each other, and the officials let it go.
So 3rd and 10, Dunlap from the 47-yard line. Clock stops, 9:56 to go. Freshman lost tonight, 27-7. Galesburg JV will play Monday, as we talked about earlier in the broadcast. 4 wideouts for the Eagles, 2 to each side. Single setback is the big running back Gore lined up next to Chatterton. He serves as a blocker. Chatterton steps left, has a little bit of room to run. He's going to tuck it and run to the 40 and steps out of bounds at the Galesburg 35-yard line, 2 yards past the first down marker, and Dunlap moves the chains. They've been very successful on third down tonight.
And that's their best play. Their best play tonight is with great coverage downfield. Chatterton just tucks it and goes. And, you know, you said they're the leading rusher. He's the leading rusher for Dunlap. And it's just he's a tough assignment, especially if we're only rushing three guys and everybody else is dropping into coverage.
And smart, too. He just makes good decisions.
He gets down. I've seen him slide once. He gets out of bounds, and he gets out of bounds past the first down marker.
That's what I was going to say. He knows right where the marker is.
Knows what he's doing.
Well, we brought both backers in that play, inside guys, around the edge, and dropped the two outside backers for that.
Fakes the handoff to Gore up the middle. Man open to the left side on the sideline and upended after the completion by Dylan McBride, but it still goes as a gain down to the Galesburg 24-yard line. After the pass completion into the numbers of Seth Haley, who had a big catch in the first half as well. And they move the chains down after a gain of, call it another 11 to the 24. So first down Dunlap. Chatterton over 100 yards passing now. He's up to 101 in the game. No big plays, just efficiency by the Eagles. Still a tie ball game, under 9.5 minutes to go here in the third quarter. Short drop again. Now steps up, flushed out of the pocket, rolling to the right side, flags down, and he slides down across the 20-yard line. This will be coming back. Three different officials saw that one and wasted no time in throwing the
Jack is slow getting up there.
Yeah, he doesn't look good. I think he's cramping in his calves.
Yeah, there was no hit there. He just slid to get down.
In this first, in the first game,
really
you've always have some conditioning issues, and he has been all over the place, and he's going to have to come out.
Yeah.
He's going to have to get some water, and they're going to stretch him out. It's just cramps.
That looks like me at about 3 o'clock in the morning on some nights.
The way he's limping out of there. Yeah, they're stretching him out. I can see it on the sideline. So, I mean, you know, good news since obviously we know the kid. It doesn't look like anything serious.
Yeah.
Good news for the Streaks here, though, is they can take advantage of a penalty and a backup quarterback.
That's the second holding penalty on Dunlap. The last one came on that drive that took them down to set up the field goal right before halftime. So second holding penalty, and the backup quarterback is Braden Dietz, and he goes with a straight handoff to the right side, back to the Galesburg 35-yard line for a pickup of 5. That'll get some of the yardage back, and it'll bring up second and about 21. And with a couple downs to play with here, they don't have to do anything too crazy fancy.
No, Chatterton's still on the sideline.
Yep. Haley runs a play in from the sideline. Now here comes
Dunlap
Gabe
will
Calhoun
huddle
as well.
We haven't seen them huddle most of the night.
Nope. Taking some time off the clock, under 8.5 minutes to go here in the third quarter. Just underway, second half of a tie game, 7-7. Low snap. Nice job to corral it. Dunlap looking to throw. Ball is up for grabs and double coverage.
Picked
and
off.
And Della Thomas picks it off at the goal line.
It's going to be at the 1 yard line. I was hoping they'd.
Nice. Yeah, I saw you, Jake, trying to persuade that. You better get off that white.
I was trying.
White.
I know. I better.
You're a little close there.
Sorry. I get warned again. I was hoping they'd call it a continuation into the end zone. But it's probably the right call. So Streaks are going to have a long ways to go, but they have the football.
Second interception of the game. It was Raheem Spinks in the first half. This time Nico Delagiannis with the high fade pass. And he was there, let it come right down to him. And the Silver Streaks have the ball at the 1 with 8:10 to go here in the third quarter. First possession of the second half for the Silver Streaks. Second interception of the game. This one by the quarterback Dietz in replace of Chatterton.
So
the Streaks were able to take advantage of it. And Galesburg not doing anything fancy right at the goal line. Ayton just up the middle for a gain of maybe 2.
Just looking for a little room to work.
Yep.
We see Kenny Klein come in the game, David Vanderman in the game, Gadsden out.
Streaks are keeping it
double
in
tight. Here comes the wishbone.
Yeah, which I would have thought they would have done that on first down.
Yeah.
Ayton hands off. Vaynerman trying to bounce to the outside and stretching it out. Dunlap keeps up with him. I don't think he gained anything. No. In fact, he might have lost a
little
bit.
Might have lost a yard.
So that's going to bring up third and nine, and incumbent on the Silver Streaks to get out of this area of the field. Got to get a first down here.
Streaks will go back to the gun. Looks like they're going to go back to receivers.
Looks like Carl's still in it, tight end on the right side.
Egyptiaco and Gatston back in.
We're double tight.
Ball spotted on the left side hash mark. Ayton back in the end zone. Gets it away on a high pass down the sideline. Running underneath it.
Yeah,
and caught by Justice Gatson at the 42-yard line. He just ran right underneath it. And the Silver Streaks with a huge play.
You know, that was as soon as Connor got the ball, he threw it up 40 yards downfield and just let the speed of Gatson get to that ball, and it paid off.
A gain of 40. And the Silver Streaks with their first third down conversion since early in the second quarter. And their biggest play of the game. And that's a candidate for a Days Autobody Crunch Time play of the game right there. Especially if they can continue to move this downfield. The handoff to McBride, trying to get to the outside, gets to the corner and then slowed down from behind, and he gets up to the 45-yard line for a gain of three.
Tell you what, Mitchell Gore there, the linebacker, we called his name earlier, scoring the only Dunlap touchdown. He ran down Dylan from behind there, so the kid can move a little bit too because Dylan is not slow.
Five carries for McBride, just 14 yards on the ground. Again, the Silver Streaks came into the second half with only 10 yards rushing.
Yeah, I don't know if people heard me on that play with Dylan. I just said, get the edge, because if you could have gotten the edge, you would have gotten more. But Gore was just there and just
pursuing.
Too stingy. Yeah, just didn't let him get it.
Halfway through quarter number three, tied at seven. Ayton with a short drop, slings it to the near side and overthrows a wide-open Grant Ayton at the 50-yard line. If he brings that in, he easily gets the first down.
Yep.
It'll be third down instead after the incompletion.
That one just sailed a little bit on him. Just elbow got tucked underneath it, and the ball goes high.
8-5 of 12 passing, 115 yards. 88 of those 115 on two completions. The catch and run by Dre Egyptiaco for the touchdown in the first half. And the 40-yard play that set up the Silver Streaks continuing this drive here. But now 3rd and 7 again. Ayton with a pump fake.
Double move.
Throws it downfield again.
He's being held.
Davina.
They got it.
How did the back judge not see that?
Yeah, the sideline guy saw it, though.
It was intended for Dre Egyptiaco. I said Davina, but gosh, yeah, I was being held from behind all over the place, and they still didn't throw the flag until finally the final jersey grab from behind, and that's when they finally threw the flag.
The line judge, who was 20, 25 yards behind the play.
Yeah.
Pass interference against the Dunlap Eagles.
So biggest penalty of the game against Dunlap. At least that didn't get declined. So the 15-yarder gives the Streaks a first down by penalty. They've had some big plays on this drive that started back at the one. And they now have first down at the Dunlap 40-yard line. .549 to go, third quarter, tie ball game. Streaks looking for their first lead of the season. Straight I formation. Hand off. Oh, McBride hit in the backfield. Tries to spin out of it, but goes nowhere. He loses four on first down.
Braden Dietz, the quarterback who came in to back up Chatterton as he goes out, just come flying through the line there in a perfectly timed blitz and just wrapped him up. And Dylan does a good job just to hold on to the ball there.
Yeah. So the ball spotted halfway between the 43 and the 44-yard line on the far hash mark. Tie ball game here in the opener of the 2019 football season. Streaks lost to these Eagles 21-7 last year. It was tied at 7 at halftime. It's tied at 7 again at halftime here. Streaks trying to get the lead here. Swing pass to the outside. It's complete. Egyptiaco trying to shake his men. Still on his feet, slipping a few tackles. And he can't quite get back to the original line of scrimmage. We'll give him a gain of a couple. It's going to bring up 3rd and 12.
You know, with the vision that Alex has there, I would like to see them run out to the field side a little bit wider where he can use his athleticism, use his field vision, and really put some moves on people and get moving. He has speed. He can get out there, make somebody miss, and get more yards. Back up, Grant.
Yeah, I was watching that too. Grant was looking at the sideline. Grant Ayton to get the call and crossed a yard into the Dunlap side. Now we're lined up, ready to go. Streaks of three wideouts to the right. Connor Ayton rolling that direction.
Take it.
Has some protection. Now he's going to hang on to the ball. Flag down in the backfield as Ayton cuts back to the far side, 35. He'll get to the first down marker at the 30 where he's wrapped up and brought down. But the flag back in the backfield, I think, is going to negate this run. And that would be the biggest penalty against the Silver Streaks in this game up to this point. Again, good coverage downfield by Dunlap as Ayton couldn't find an open receiver, but he shows his athleticism to be able to get to the first down marker on that run, but it's going to come back on the hole.
Yep.
And that marker all the way down back at the 48-yard line is going to take the Streaks back into their own territory at their own 42. 4:45 to go, third quarter of a 7-7 game. So not only does it negate the first down, with the flag being down so far in the backfield, the Silver Streaks are pushed back into their territory, 7 yards deep, and now facing third and, I can't add that high, I'm an English guy, third and 27.
20, yeah, and that was about a 27-yard penalty there as a result.
Third and a bunch.
Yep.
Bottom line, they have to get to the Dunlap 30-yard line. And now a false start against the Streaks before they even can really get set up to run that play. So now make it third and 32. 4:40 to go. So back-to-back penalties. This is some of the things that Mike Washabaugh was talking about in the pregame with us, how we can't make these kinds of mental mistakes. Streaks need a huge play,
draw.
Crossing play to McBride running up the middle, and he gets some of it back, but he doesn't even make it back to midfield before being taken down at the 48-yard line. So Dillon's biggest run of the game is a gain of 11. It'll bring up fourth down short of midfield. Well, Streaks had some momentum, two big plays on that drive. But with 4 minutes to go in the third quarter, Ayton's still waiting for the play call from the sideline. Still not indicating whether they're going to run it or whether he's going to punt it. It looks like they're going to run it.
This will be a punt.
Yep.
Yeah, I would think so. And here comes the pooch. So he steps up, gets it away, backing up the running back, or rather the receiver to the far side. And Erickson takes it all the way to the far side.
Still
of the field. Stays in bounds, spinning off the sideline. And cuts back toward the middle to the 45 and the 46-yard line, gets it back near midfield.
That's a great example as to why you don't give up on a play. So as he returned that to the punt team's left side, the right side guys need to pursue that and continue to hope that they may not make the play at the 40, but if it breaks out, they make the play down the other side of the field on the 30. Good follow there, good pursuit. I think the ball may have come out, Jake. Did you see that?
It'll be Dunlap ball. If it did come out, they did not lose possession of it.
So Jake might be changing batteries down there.
And now Mike Washabaugh's all the way out on the field. We got a player down on the far side, way over on the Dunlap side of the field. So Hick and I are going to break out the binoculars, but...
It's a Galesburg player.
Yeah, it's... he's sitting up now, so that's a good sign, but still can't get a good look at his number. I think I know who it is, but I don't want to guess. I saw enough of a number to have an idea. But now he's laying back down on his back as they're checking him out over there. So while they get this figured out, it was down to the Streaks had first down at the Dunlap 40-yard line. After the penalties and then the run back on the punt, Dunlap is going to get it at its own 46-yard line. That's how much ground the Streaks lost because of those penalties. So a stoppage of play on the injury. We'll take a quick timeout as well. Tied at 7, 3.5 minutes to play. Oh, wait, nope, he's up.
He's up. John Pettmeyer.
That's who I thought it was.
Yep. They're giving him water. Maybe he was cramped as well.
Let's hope that's all it was.
He's walking across the field on his own. So.
And with Dunlap back on offense, speaking of muscle cramps, we'll be able to see if Jackson Chatterton is back into the game, if he's had enough rest and recuperation to become able to come back in and lead the Eagles offense. Pepmeier gets a nice hand. His teammates down on one knee on the field, up and ready to greet him as he heads off. 3:30 to go here in the third quarter, so we'll keep it here as we're about to get back to action here. Dunlap with the ball, nose of the football, sitting on the far hash mark. Tie ball game at 7. And Dunlap still huddled up on the far side of the field. Streaks defense on the field ready to go as Pepmeier makes it back to the sideline, and trainer Brandon Terrell will take him to the bench and give him a little extra attention. But bottom line, he walked all the way from the far side of the field over, across, and under his own power. So,
and for the Eagles,
see,
number one is back on the field.
Yep.
Jack Chatterton back at quarterback.
Gabe Calhoun splits out wide to the left. He's the lone wideout in man-to-man coverage against Dylan McBride on the near side of the field to us. Chatterton out of the shotgun. Streaks jump at the line and are going to get called for being in the neutral zone. So that's 5 yards in favor of Dunlap, and it pushes the Eagles into Galesburg territory at the 49. So all of a sudden, the penalty is mounting at a bad time for the Silver Streaks. These are painful ones. Killed the last offensive drive, and now it gives Dunlap possession in Galesburg territory with a little five-yarder. First and 5 now. Swing pass and a little crossing pattern to Calhoun. Caught. McBride wraps him up.
It's a nice
tackle. Spins him down at the 45-yard line, but forward progress to the 42, and that's enough for a first down.
You know, as strong as Dylan is, if he's going to wrap someone up, it's not likely they're going to get away from him.
Yeah.
But there again, that's the short pass game that they're doing. Our corner's a little bit soft. They're hitting that quick slant there at about 8 yards, and as a result, they have a first down.
Now, Calhoun's got some... got some height to him, too. So we don't have the roster that we got from Dunlap. Doesn't give heights or weights or anything like that. But Calhoun's probably a good 6'4", and he's got a size advantage on McBride. Hand off to the right side. Curry finds a hole, dives forward into the secondary toward the 35. I'll mark him at about the 36. Well, actually back at the 37-yard line. So still a gain of 5 for Curry. 2nd and 5.
Chatterton still trying to stretch out that calf. Still having struggles with it. I'm sure it's going to limit the scrambling ability.
His mobility. And it's going to be he's going to fight that the whole game.
Yep.
You know, and there's not much you can do now. I mean, we're looking at being less than an hour away, and he can't get the hydration into his system the way it's going to need to get rid of that.
7-7 game, 2.5 minutes to go, third quarter. Dunlap, 2nd and 5 inside the Galesburg 40. Hand off Curry's got some room to run. Breaks into the secondary and then finally wrapped up there by Delajanis inside the 30 down to the 26-yard line. Biggest run of the night for Curry, a gain of 11. It's another first down for the Eagles. Well, Chatterton doesn't have to run if they continue to do that.
Right, they're really gashing us off tackle there, it looks like. Jake, is that what you would say that they're getting us?
Yeah, that's absolutely going into C-gap and just running the zone read, and it's not even a read at this point because Chatterton is not going to pull it down.
It's a give all the way.
It's a give.
The last play, they folded the lineman to try to get a block, almost like our belly. And, you know, that's what they're just falling at tight end right now.
First
tight
down. End
to the right.
Galesburg 26.
Folded
hand off right side. Yep. Streaks read that one perfectly. Curry gets a handoff and is stopped immediately at the 30 for a loss of 4.
Stopped on the play.
Max Carr was there. Jeremiah Morris was there for the Silver Streaks.
They sent Vannerman in on blitz. It was a perfect blitz for that play. I mean, it was just when you blitz, it's a coin flip sometimes. You know the tendencies, and you play the odds, and they guessed right there.
Well, 2 plays in a row, they ran the same play, and they ran it to the wide side of the field both times. So we brought our blitz to the wide side, and we blitzed right into it.
And Curry is not in. It's the big kid, Gore, who takes the handoff. They go that direction again. He slips a tackle in the backfield and just runs over some Silver Streaks, barreling his way down to the 20-yard line, inside the 20 for close to a first down. It'll be a couple yards short.
Now, in that play there, Carl was in on it. You know, as we talked earlier in the game about Davina and the angle take, you know, I think that we could be taking bigger chances here because we would think that Chatter is not going to pull that. So what Carl can do is attack that ball just a little bit more. You know, usually he has to kind of break down just in case the quarterback pulls it. I think now he could be a little more aggressive to go after the running back.
after the gain of 11 by Gore turns it from second and long into third and about four here with under a minute to go in the third quarter. And an official sends one of the Dunlap players out for something with the equipment, I think.
They're going to send Vanderman out, too. So they send out number 50 for Dunlap, Eric Restrepo. And then they're going to send Vanderman out to get the blood cleaned up as well. So I'm wondering if it's Vanderman's blood on Restrepo's jersey.
He's scrambling to...
he's changing over there.
He's looking at his arm.
Yeah, Vanderman's, you know, and that... If I was, you know, that's not an even trade, in my opinion, you know, as far as one guy off for them, one guy off for us, taking our best tackler out of the game. So hopefully the Streaks make a big stop here on a third and short, force a field goal.
Down to 40 seconds to go with the clock rolling. Dunlap third and four from the Galesburg 19-yard line. Tie ball game at 7. Gore, the big fullback, lined up to the left of Chatterton, and now a whistle, and Galesburg calls timeout. A defensive timeout with 33.6 seconds remaining. And what do you think Coach Wash saw there that he didn't
It, Zekinis replaces Vanderman, and he was not lined up correctly for what they had called because he's kind of chewing him right now. So, you know, hopefully, because Vanderman's still getting worked on. With the timeout, though, here he comes back. He can come back in the ballgame.
He can come back in even though they haven't run the play.
With the timeout, he can come back in, I think.
Well, he's in.
Yeah, but the white hat's coming over to maybe address that. I'm not sure. I thought with a timeout he could come in.
Kind of watching what happened. Nope. He's
writing something down. I don't know.
Yeah.
Or he's taking a picture. Got his phone out, taking a picture of the Streaks. Yep.
Selfie.
Yeah, he does not come over to the Galesburg huddle. So, say you're right, Jake. The timeout does allow him to come back in. Well, now he's pointing. The referee is pointing. He looked to be pointing toward Vanderman. Now he's going to walk back to the sideline.
Yep. The other officials are telling him with a timeout, he can come back.
Okay.
Which is the way I always understood the rule. The only time the official can hold him out is on a concussion judgment call.
Unless we're at Dunlap, in which case when the trainer clears him to go in, the officials still not let him in.
Right.
That happened in last year's game. 33.6 seconds to go, third quarter, tie ball game. Now we're ready to get things underway and squared away. Dunlap third and four from the Galesburg 19-yard line. Tied at 7. Here we go. Late third quarter snap for the Eagles. Trying to keep the drive alive, going for the lead. They hand off to Gore again. Big hole to the right side.
But a flag
down. Gore breaks free, still dragging Silver Streaks defenders all the way to the goal line for the touchdown. But what's the flag down in the middle of that scrum?
A
it's a hold against Dunlap, and it negates the touchdown. With 18.9 seconds to go, the flag down at the 16-yard line, so this will pull it back to the 26. The Streaks better figure out a way to stop Gore. He's had two big runs, and they're very fortunate this one gets called back.
Yeah, this is concerning because they're doing whatever they want on the ground right now against the Streaks, especially with Gore. I don't know. It might
either be one of them.
Right. It's if it's a fatigue thing on our side, too, I have no idea because the Streaks were holding the running game down pretty well.
It's 90 yards in penalties against Dunlap now. Takes the ball back to the 26-yard line. It's basically back to third and 10 now. So they had a big stop on a run on the first play of this series. Then Gore had the 11-yard run. We had the timeout for the blood, then the holding penalty. Now back to pass Chatterton on third and 10 across the middle and hit right as the catch is made, but the catch is complete at the 16-yard line right at the first down marker.
Okay, he's short.
The spot is short.
Is that Calhoun who brought that in? He's a little slow to get up, kind of holding his back.
Well, that was
it was impressive
hit.
That was Haley.
Seth Haley.
Yeah, it was a good hit. I mean,
so a gain of 9.5, and that's how the third quarter ends. So neither team scores, and it'll be fourth and less than a yard for Dunlap from the Galesburg 17-yard line when we come back for the fourth quarter of a 7-7 game. You're listening to Silver Streaks Football at 93.7 FM and 1400 AM WGIL.
Introducing the $1 yoga deal.
Breathe in. And namaste you later. Or get a real deal at McDonald's. Introducing the buy one, get one for a dollar deal. Buy one of your faves and pick another for just an extra buck. Choose from the Big Mac, filet of fish, quarter pounder with cheese, or 10-piece chicken McNuggets. But you better stop by McDonald's today, because this deal is only around for a limited time. Prices and participation may vary. Valid for item of equal or lesser value. Cannot be combined with any offers or combo meal.
Stay connected with Galesburg anywhere you go. Galesburg's local news is always online at WGIL.com.
7-7 game heading into the fourth quarter. Galesburg facing a big, Galesburg's defense facing a big fourth down stop here coming up, or as it's fourth and less than a yard inside the 17-yard line. So we were just talking. We were speculating how the Streaks are going to – they know what's coming.
I think one thing you might see is – and Coach Wash has done this in the past – is in these short down, short yardage situations, is you'll see our guys stem. You'll see them stem right before the snap and try to draw, you know, kind of the old Alleman thing they used to do against us, and maybe try to draw them off sides and get them in a five-yard penalty here. Might be something we look at watching them do.
So this is Dunlap's first attempt at a fourth down conversion, or do they just try to draw Galesburg offsides and not even run the play?
They could do that too. There's the stem.
Fourth and less than a yard.
Here comes the power.
Snap to Chatterton. He goes up the middle, and Gore looks like he's got it. He had to get to the 16-yard line, and it looks like he got to the 15. Yep. They piled him up, but those strong legs of the big fullback looked like they got it by, well, I won't say plenty, but really never in doubt.
Yep.
So a big fourth down conversion keeps the Dunlap drive alive. They're now down to the Galesburg 15-yard line as this drive that started back at the Dunlap 46-yard line with 3.5 minutes to go in the third quarter. This is the eighth play of the drive coming up, down to the Galesburg 15. Streaks had an interception at the one-yard line by Nico Delegiannis, their second forced turnover of the night. They need another one here to stall this one out as we're underway in the fourth quarter of a tie game. Dunlap has not had to put it on the air. Now a fumble on the snap.
That's big.
With Chatterton not in there, another miscommunication as Brandon Dietz drops the snap, and he's able to fall on it and recover it, but they lose five. So losing Chatterton at the quarterback, we see what a huge impact it's having on this Dunlap offense. It'll be second and 15 now.
Yeah, they're still working on Chatterton over in the sideline, it looks like.
Yeah. It's just tough. Once you cramp, they don't have the technology that they have at the college and the pro game where you can put an IV in them and
run behind and stands real quick.
Put them in the tent and do that kind of stuff. So it's tough, man.
Out of the gun. Dietz handles this one. Handoff up the middle to Gore into the linebacker territory. The Streaks stack him up back to the 15-yard line where they stop him. So he gets the 5 yards back that they just lost, and it'll be third and about 10 now with 10.5 minutes to go in a tie ball game.
I really think the Streaks need to sell out on the run here, Sean, and just, you know, dare Dietz to beat him. Stopping the run has been a problem. I think Dunlap's playing for a field goal here.
Yeah, they're going to run it again. I feel like that they've been moving the ball on us. They're running they're folding the front side, or they're running a power play through as a running play. And I envision more than that. But here they come out with two receivers on both sides, shotgun.
Dunlap 5 for 9 on third downs. 4 receivers, single setback, back to pass.
Screen's
looking, throws it left, and it's over the hands and off the fingertips of Isaiah Curry, who was open in the flat. He was 9 yards behind the first down marker. So it falls incomplete, and it brings up a field goal opportunity. Of course, the drama at the end of the first half.
I don't think you'll see 3 consecutive timeouts.
Well, the Streaks have already used one, but no, they've got to hang on to them. Under 10 minutes to play, tie ball game at 7. Matt McQuillan had the distance on the field goal attempt at the end of the first half. Crowd comes to its feet on the Galesburg side to make some noise. This will be a 32-yarder, and it's short to the left. And the Streaks defense holds, and we're still tied. McQuillan has missed 2. The first one had the distance. He missed left. This one didn't have the distance at all, and Galesburg takes over.
That's just the good old-fashioned shank right there, because that kid has plenty of leg for that field goal, and it was just a miss hit. You know, looked like one of Sean's drivers you know, off the tee box. Just didn't go very far. The divot might have gone a little bit further.
Well, no, I think I would have. I could have hit you with that. Right. I mean, my slice would have gone over to the corner area for That's corner true. Kick that we have in the soccer field here.
Uh-huh.
You would not have been safe.
I think based on what we saw in the pregame warm-ups, had we known that the Dunlap's kicker would have had two opportunities
right.
in field goals, there's no way we would have prognosticated that he would have missed them both.
Well, no, and that could have been a hold. You know, you never know with the snap and everything there. It looked like it was down, but...
Well, Dunlap's defense not giving anything up. Streaks run out of the mm-hmm. I formation and no gain on first down. They just run, Streaks run right into an Eagle wall. And McBride gets up off the bottom of the pile after no gain. So 9.5 minutes and counting here in the 7-7 game. It's been a defensive battle. And you guys talk about how the defense oftentimes is sort of ahead of the curve of the offense. And that's been the case here tonight. Dunlap has moved the ball, but they have not been able to find the end zone after taking a 7-0 lead in the second quarter. Streaks came back and tied it at the half. We're still tied at 7. They try to go to Vaynerman to the outside, and he can't get to the corner. And he falls forward for a gain of a yard. And very quickly, the Streaks are at 3rd and 9 again at their own 22.
Yeah, two straight runs. You know, we're throwing into the breeze a little bit here, but I know that's not the issue. And they're going to have to put it in the air, looking for the best pass play that they can come up with here.
They've had some good ones here in the second half, but that's only been to get some first downs. They have not been able to move it downfield enough to threaten the end zone. 3rd and 9 for the Silver Streaks. Third down has been a bit of a struggle. Ayton back to flag pass, and a flag stops the play.
I didn't see movement.
It's on us.
Pointing
yeah.
against Dunlap.
Yep.
Neutral zone. All right, we'll take it. Now it becomes 3rd and 4.
I'd like to see us think about a screen pass here with all the pressure that Dunlap has just started to unleash. They're bringing at least one or two backers every time. I'd like to see us run a little screenplay on this 3rd and short.
8.5 minutes to play, tied at 7. Drop back by Connor. Here it comes. Scrambling to the left. Now he's got some room. He's got to get away with it. The pressure's on, and he can't even just throw it just to get rid of it, and he's dragged down inside the 25-yard line.
Ayton on the keeper.
So he loses 2, maybe 3 yards, and Dunlap continues to bring the defensive pressure, and the Galesburg Silver Streaks will have to punt 4th down from their own 24, and they go 3 and out.
First, they were trying to set the screen up. Did it look like that?
It felt like that. It felt like the pressure was there, but I don't think that's what we were doing. I think they had that much penetration with this.
Calhoun back to receive this punt, standing at his own 40 with 8:20 to go in the game. And the Silver Streaks have had a hard time defending him in special teams. The kick is short. It bounces at the 40 and goes straight to the left out of bounds. And Dunlap is going to have it on Galesburg's side of the field. Inside the 50 with 8:13 to play in the game, tied at 7.
And here comes number one. I think he's out there talking to his coach, so I think Zach Chatterton is going to make a return.
But again, even when he's in there, I mean,
yeah,
he's
limited.
Yeah, but he hasn't had to throw the ball.
Mm-mm.
They have been dominant on the ground here late third quarter into the fourth quarter. And it's only been when he's come out that their offense has stalled, much to the benefit of the Silver Streaks, who are still tied at 7.
Just watching them run to the huddle looks painful.
Yeah.
It sure does.
Well, you know, we can say that they've ran the ball really well this half, but it hasn't resulted in anything.
No points.
We've stalled them out.
But it's every time Chatterton's had to go to the sideline that their drives have stalled. He is going to attempt to throw.
Throws it
down the middle. He gets plastered in the backfield. No. The pass is complete. A flag down is going to be roughing the passer, but it was complete into the hands of Erickson in double coverage. What a beautiful throw by Chatterton, and Dunlap has taken a 13-7 lead. Roughing the passer will be negated.
Great ball.
Was just a good ball. And
beautiful ball, beautiful catch.
Sure was.
And I've talked a couple times about the middle, you know, the exposure you're going to have with this cover four or a two look as the middle of the field. And, again, they went right back to it.
A 49-yard pass play from Jackson Chatterton.
Now, I wouldn't say
Casey Erickson.
weren't beat. I mean, we were there. We weren't in the best position. But just tip your cap.
Yeah, it's just the soft part of that. And we've talked about the passing game. They've been short. Their running game's been okay. Then they hit us in the middle deep. You know, it's been a good variety as a field goal, or excuse me, the extra point there is good. It's been a nice mix, and they've kept us on our toes in terms of what they might run there. And you know, Coach Turner's having decided what to do defensively, and they've attacked us in the middle, and they've ran the ball on the inside, and they've hit us on the short passes. So it's been a nice mix of play call by the Dunlap Eagles.
14-7 Eagles after the extra point, and a 49-yard pass play, touchdown from Jackson Chatterton to the receiver Casey Erickson. When we come back, 7 Silver Streaks try to rebound, down a touchdown now. You're listening to Galesburg High School Football on WGIL.
If your business utilizes equipment with air filters and dust collectors, let Midstate Manufacturing save you money. Filter Service Center, part of Midstate, specializes in the sale and service of every kind of filter. And they clean them too, which provides 95% efficiency at half the price of replacement. Get on their delivery route today.
Live coverage of GHS Silver Streaks football on WGIL is brought to you in part by Arby's on North Henderson and Galesburg. They'll hang the big hat up on the sign so you can see it. And by Sabrina's Bridal and Prom on Main Street in downtown Galesburg, where you're always one of a kind. Galesburg's News, Galesburg's Talk, 93.7 FM and 1400 AM WGIL.
A 15-yard penalty against Blaze Purchase on roughing the passer is assessed on the kickoff, so Jack Schaberg has it kicking off in Galesburg territory. And that goes easily out of the back of the end zone, 6 yards behind the back of the end zone, and the Streaks will have it at the 20-yard line.
And to clarify, that the penalty was on Kane Johnson.
Oh, was it?
Yeah.
All right. Saw the wrong number.
That's all right. Well, here we are now. We're going to be getting the ball. First down from the 20-yard line. As they, it's like 15 yards. They kick it out of the back of the end zone, so no chance at a return.
All right, so you watched it on replay. Did he have time Did he have time to avoid the contact?
Yes.
Okay.
It was the right call.
I wasn't sure, but I was also watching the ball go downfield at the same time, too. All right, first down, Silver Streaks from their own 20. 8:05 to play in the game. Down a touchdown now. Swing pass to the outside. Complete to Grant Ayton. Spun down across the 25 to the 27-yard line.
There we go. A little Dunlap's own medicine to him. Get the short passing game going. Get Connor in a rhythm.
They're going to spot it at the 26. So a gain of six.
Thought he got more out of that.
Yeah,
I did
don't
too.
Like that spot.
Unless his foot went out.
Right. It's across the field from us.
123 yards passing for Connor Ayton. Second completion to his brother Grant. Two catches for 12 yards. Second and 4 Silver Streaks. And they say he did not get out of bounds either as the clock rolls. Under 7.5 minutes to play. 14-7 Dunlap. Ayton rolling right, looking, tosses it downfield, sideline, just throws it away. So that stops the clock with 7:16 to play. And brings up 3rd and 4. Max Carr brings the play in from the sideline.
Usually means we're going empty. He's kind of seen as the...
Dylan McBride's coming out.
Yep.
Vaynerman.
We do have Vaynerman in the back.
Yep, Vaynerman's going to line up back there. Carr and Drea Gypsiaco to the left as wideouts. Two wideouts to the right side. Ayton, straight drop back. Looking, now flushed out from the backside. Rolling to the right.
Ah, dang it.
And he can't slip free from the tackle. Thought about cutting it up the sideline. Instead, he gets dragged down at the 25 for a loss of a yard. And just like that, it's 4th down again.
Still time here, but obviously the... got a little more of a sense of urgency here to get going offensively. He's just not finding the open receiver. He just threw that quick pass, and then since then, just isn't able to find an open look.
And the defense has been on the field a lot here in the second half.
Yep.
So 7:08 to play. Streaks are going to give up the ball here on the punt. Ayton standing back at his 13. High snap. He corrals it. Boots it away,
nice punt.
Spinning, a little bit of a wobbler, bounces at the 44 and takes a Galesburg roll out of bounds at the 38-yard line. So the little extra distance kicking out of bounds on the end there. Helps the Streaks defense out a little bit, hopefully. Exactly 7 minutes to play in the game, and the Dunlap Eagles will have it. The ball on the far hash mark halfway between the 37 and 38-yard line. Streaks need a big stop. They've had a couple of turnovers. They've had a couple of interceptions in this game. Dunlap very likely to keep the ball out of the air as much as possible here with 7 minutes to play and a seven-point lead. And their success running the ball on the ground here in the second half is exactly what they need to do to salt away this victory. Let's see if the Streaks can make something happen. Chatterton back in at quarterback. Low snap, handoff left to Gore, the fullback. Barrels forward to the 45-yard line. Picks up six. And why not just hand it to him? Streaks have not been able to stop him. I mean, it's not like he's breaking off 40-yard runs or anything, but he's doing everything they need to do right here. Shorten up the game, ball control offense, keep it on the ground, move the ball forward, and keep it away from the Silver Streaks.
They're just pounding away at us right now, and we need something big up front. We have guys, you know, somebody to step up, get a hitch, strip the ball out. We need another turnover. This is gut check time. Here he comes.
Up to him again. This time he goes a little bit right, runs over a couple more Silver Streaks defenders, and he carries them across the 50 into Galesburg territory to the 49-yard line. And he picks up seven that time.
Yeah, what they did there was they pulled both sides, the backside, the guard and tackle, pulled them around, have a little lead block there, just pushing the line, pushing the whole pile forward, and he gets enough for a first down.
So now Mitchell Gore. It's the Mitchell Gore show. Two carries for 1 yard in the first half, a one-yard touchdown run. Here in the second half, he is averaging 8 yards a carry. First down from the Galesburg 49-yard line. One wide out to each side. Everything else packed in tight on the line. They go to him again, trying to feel his way to the left side. Bursts forward into the secondary, and he's got another first down all the way down inside the 35 to about the 32-yard line. A gain of 17 that time.
Yeah, he bounced it to the outside, you know, and we're going to see a steady diet of this. Jay can remember back when we were coaching, one of the difficult things of having to run so many guys both ways is that as you start to get to the end of the third quarter and in the fourth quarter, conditioning becomes an issue, and you have these guys right now on the defensive line that, you know, they're trying, they're working hard, but it just looks like they're on skates and going backward.
Down 14-7, 5:15 and counting here in the fourth quarter. Dunlap first down at the 32. Go ahead, Jake.
Just like Sean said, got a lot of high hats out there right now. When you see defensive helmets up in the air, that's not a good thing.
Low snap. Chatterton handles it. Gore right up the middle. Close to another first down. He does carry more defenders into first down territory. Down inside the 20, close to the 18-yard line. Gain of 14 more. He's picked up 6, 7, 17, and 14 on this drive alone. And they're inside the red zone again at the 18.
Blaze Purchase just comes in for Kane Johnson on the defensive line.
Trying to find some fresh legs somewhere.
Yeah, looks like we have Jordan Payne out there. And is that Morris, maybe?
I
can't see his number. 54.
Yep.
Yeah, Jeremiah Morris.
Under 4.5 minutes to go by the time they get this snap away. Leading 14-7. Gore to the left side. Inside the 15. Shorter gain that time, but still positive yardage. It'll be about another 4. As the clock continues to roll, it'll be under 4 minutes to play by the time they snap the next play away. Down to the 14-yard line.
Yep, they're doing it perfectly. Managing the clock right, taking their time, waiting for the count.
Extraordinarily frustrating to watch when you're on the downside of this. But it's textbook. It's textbook when you're on the high side. This time they go to Curry,
go.
And the
Good.
Streaks stop him. Doesn't even get to the 15-yard line. So may have lost a foot or so. Clock still rolling, under 3:40
flag.
To go. Now a flag from back in where the Galesburg players are gathered.
That's Hunter.
Well, that doesn't help. The Silver Streaks actually forced Curry back as they didn't go to Gore, finally.
Sportsmanlike.
And unsportsmanlike conduct, and that's going to give Dunlap a first down. Instead of facing 3rd and 8, now they're going to get a first down inside the 10. Again, I hate to say it. Mike Washabaugh talked about this in the pregame. He was referring really more to turnovers, but these are the kinds of mistakes that he was talking about the Silver Streaks team can't make. And now it's a first and goal from the 8 after the penalty. And if they get in, this game is all but over.
I can't see who's in a tail, but I'm guessing some steady dose of gore. I mean, I don't know why you'd go away from that at this point.
Unless he just needed a breather just right. to sit out a play.
He's not in.
No, he's not. So first and goal from the Galesburg 8. Under 3.5 minutes to play with Dunlap leading by a touchdown. Chatterton still in at quarterback. Hands off to Curry. Right he's away. Hit Carl, right at away. The 10-yard line. Aaron Carl. I'll give him Time credit out. For most of that.
Galesburg.
Yep.
So it'll be second and goal. Back at the, well, back behind the 10. Not quite back to the 11. So a loss of a couple. Streaks have one timeout remaining with 3:16 remaining, trailing 14-7. We'll miss you guys next week. You're not going to make the trip to Centralia, allegedly, because you have work obligations.
Well, we heard
still not
that.
Sure, I buy that.
No, we heard how much Jim Lee wanted to get back in and just right. call one game. So Jake and I decided to give him the opportunity that we thought we would stay home in a long trip and let Jim Lee have it.
Well, we just know the fans want to hear those golden tones one more time, and we figured, you know, a four-hour car ride with you, Brad, would just be what Jim was looking for.
It would be just enough to drive him away forever.
Uh-huh, 4 hours down and 4 hours back.
This would be it.
Start calling Jim the Godfather. Just when I think I'm out, they pull me back
right.
in.
But again, well, by the end of that car trip, the two of you ought to be very symbiotic in your broadcast, like you never missed a beat.
Yeah, maybe. Meanwhile, and we will mention again, that's a 12:30 start next Saturday. No Friday night game for the long road trip. 12:30 pregame, 1 o'clock kickoff. Second and goal from the 10, 3:16 to play fourth quarter. Handoff left side, Gore back in. Big hole left side, gets
stumbling,
inside
bumbling,
the 5, still
touchdown.
On his feet, and he's got the touchdown. The Streaks are unable to stop him in any way whatsoever. His second touchdown run of the game, and it makes it 20-7 Dunlap. 13, 30, 44, 48, 58 yards on that drive. All by Mitchell Gore. And his second touchdown run of the night. Extra point pending. Some of the Galesburg faithful head toward the parking lot. Here's the extra point attempt now. The kick is up and in. 21-7 Dunlap. Streaks trail by 2 touchdowns with 3:11 to go in the game. And this score looks awfully familiar.
Yeah, I was just thinking that myself. Halftime score. 21-7
just like last
here.
Year. Yep. Yeah.
No, it's not. And that's kind of what I wrote down to talk about with Coach Wash too. And but it wasn't turnovers in this half that doomed us, but some pretty bad penalties caused some problems for us, and then just a lack of offensive inefficiency right now. Just couldn't seem to get things rolling.
Nope. 8-play scoring drive by Dunlap, 62 yards, which they covered in 3 minutes and 49 seconds. So if the Streaks can get a big run back here, that's what you hope for. Get a big kickoff return. Ideally, all the way back for the touchdown to get themselves right back in this game, and then there would still be plenty of time left if they can get the onside kick, because you sure don't want Dunlap with the ball back.
No.
Because the Streaks are unable to stop them, so it's not out of the realm of possibility, but something big has to happen right here. Has to. 3:11 to play, down 21-7.
Well,
Gatson and Alex Egyptiaco are the return men.
He's
Go ahead,
kicked
Sean.
It low every time, hasn't he? I mean, that's going to be, I'm guessing it's going to be the same dose here.
We haven't fielded it cleanly yet either because it's been low and hard.
This time he goes deep.
That's
and it's going to go back into the end zone. So no run back for the Silver Streaks. Egyptiaco chased it down to try to have a chance, but there was no returning that one. So the Silver Streaks unable to make something big happen on the run back. So they'll have it at the 20 with 3:11 to play. down 2 touchdowns.
All right, this is the point in time in practice where you have, Jake, you know, the two-minute drill. You've worked this all summer. You worked it leading up to the week one here, and you got to really get the ball and move it.
Back to pass, Ayton looks left, rolls right, plants himself, goes deep. Man-to-man coming back for it. Now there's pass interference penalty as they got tangled up on the far side. Justice Gatson came back for it to try to receive it, and when he did, he got tangled up with the defensive back for Dunlap, who's, as you said, John, cramping up there. But because they got tangled up, and I don't think Justice could have caught that anyway.
No.
But
no, it was underthrown, but sometimes that works out. I mean, as you adjust to come back to it, and the defender runs into you, impedes your path to the ball, then that's a result of that.
Yeah, it's too bad in high school. That's only a 15-yard penalty.
Right.
You know, a couple levels up, and that's a 45-yard penalty. But the Streaks will take it. It's been, you know, the two big pass interference penalties have been a big part of their offense in this half. Teams are getting set, but the kid's still down on the field, stretching out.
So first down from the 35-yard line now.
That was Dylan Combs, who was down for the Eagles there, cramping up. Must have had the same lunch as Chatterton.
Over 100 yards in penalties now for Dunlap. 110 yards, 11 flags. And there have been some that have been waved off also. First down from the 35. Ayton rolling right. That's a short side of the field. Throws it with some distance into quadruple coverage. And Dunlap intercepts it. And the return by Dietz across the 50. Back to the Galesburg 47-yard line. And with 2:53 to go, that ought to do it.
Yep. You can't just take a knee with 2:53, but ultimately it's
from what we've seen, there's no reason to expect that the Silver Streaks are suddenly going to magically find a solution to stop Mitchell Gore. We certainly hope they will, but that's what we're saying. From what we've seen, that's why we anticipate this game has pretty much come to a conclusion. We're just waiting for the final 2 minutes and 53 seconds. Now, will they send Chatterton back out into the field? You would think they wouldn't have to.
He's out
with
there.
This two,
he's
three,
there.
Yeah, but he's there. They're not going to hand off to Gore. They actually give it to Cole Wright. So not Gore, not Curry. And the Streaks have only one timeout remaining. But down by 2 touchdowns. Questionable whether Mike Washabaugh will use that or not.
Yeah.
Well, if he's going to, he would have used it there. I don't know. I guess you'd need one more play, wouldn't you, Jake, to use it?
Yeah. We only got one left.
Yep.
Oh, yeah, we had to use a defensive one earlier.
Right.
Forgot about that. So if we're going to use it, we have to give two plays here.
Right, with a gain of just a yard instead of two. Second down from the Galesburg 43. Tries to go right this time, and right
with
a gain of a yard. Oh, right was the ball carrier. And there is the final timeout. Again, it's not out of the realm of possibility. It's not that it is impossible, but in a situation like this, everything just has to go extraordinarily, well, just lucky. Not just extraordinarily well, but you've got to have extraordinary luck. So it's not impossible, but a conglomeration of a number of things all have to come together in order to give the Silver Streaks a chance to come back in this one. So that's why Mike Washabaugh uses the timeout, because give it a chance, unlikely even as it may be.
Well, you have someone new at fullback or tailback. We haven't seen this guy. You know, it's a position where maybe we get a hit on him. Maybe we get some penetration with the handoff mesh, or we strip it out, and next thing you know, it's a scoop and score, and we have a different ball game.
Yep.
So I'm pretty sure during that timeout, that's a very clear message that was given, is, hey, we need the ball. Let's get the ball. We'll see who the Eagles put at tailback now.
21-7 is the Dunlap lead. 2:02 to play in the fourth quarter. And the Eagles facing 3rd and 8 here from the Galesburg 42-yard line. Chatterton stays in at quarterback.
It's cold right at tailback.
All they need is a first down, and the game will be open. Over. It's third and eight. They hand off to right. Got a little bit of running room. He's got still into the going. Linebacker. Still on his feet. He gets to the first down marker, and an extra couple of steps at the end gets the first down. So they had an opportunity to get him about 5 yards into that run, but he found enough room to run forward a little bit more, and then just the extra leg movement at the end got him a final 2 yards, and it's down to the 32-yard line and should be enough to now run this game out.
Victory formation.
Well, lessons learned from this one, guys, here tonight. What's going to be the focus of practice here this week coming out of this one?
Well, one of the things that's most glaring to me, you know, we can talk about this in post game too. We can talk about it now, is that you really saw a decline in our line play from about halfway through the third quarter. So that's a conditioning issue. They're going to have to really work on that, or at least find some other people that are going to be the number twos and number threes that can go in and spell those guys and give them an opportunity to get some breaks. In a time in which it's not going to hurt the team defensively or offensively. So, that to me is what the most glaring and what they're able to do on the ground, certainly in the second half to us.
Chris Streak's inability to move the ball offensively kept that defense on the field for a lengthy amount of time here in the second half. You got to give Dunlap some credit defensively for denying the Silver Streaks so many first downs in the second half, but Silver Streaks certainly will look to shore up some things offensively. And there's the final snap and the final knee, and Dunlap for the second year in a row, like instant replay of last year, tied at 7 at halftime, and they'll leave with a 21-7 victory. And the Silver Streaks will start 0-1. So we'll close things out here. Stay tuned for the post-game show coming up, including a visit with Streaks head coach Mike Washabaugh. And we'll tell you our Dave's Auto Body Crunch Time player of the game, as well as wrap up the final statistics. As the post-game show comes up next from Van Dyke Field on WGIL and WGIL.com.
You just crashed your car, had an accident, and you don't know what to do. Dave's Auto Body.
You thought winter was rough on you until you saw your driveway. Holy potholes! If you need help in the concrete department, call Courtright Construction. They're concrete craftsmen who have a reputation of exceeding expectations. Give them a call. Courtright Construction, the right choice for your next project.
The Summer of Jeep event is on now at YEM in Galesburg. Steer clear of the ordinary and make time for the extraordinary. Just like the deals you'll find on all new Jeeps at YEM.
Hi, John Tenenbaum for YEM Auto Group. The Summer of Jeep continues. You've got to see this gorgeous blue 2019 Grand Cherokee we have that's now $7,000 off.
And just like summertime, the Summer of Jeep event won't last long. Hurry in to YEM Jeep, North Henderson Street, Galesburg.
Silver Streaks football on WGIL is brought to you in part by McDonald's in Galesburg and Knoxville. I'm loving it. By Galesburg Nissan on North Henderson Street, home of the lifetime warranty. By Kehoe Eye Care. They care for people, not just eyes. By Midstate Manufacturing, the headquarters for any of your steel material fabrication or powder coating needs. By Courtright Construction of Oneida, the right choice for your next project. By Dave's Auto Body in Galesburg. You better call Dave's. Silver Streaks football is also brought to you by Neil Thomas Plumbing and Heating in Galesburg. You deserve to be comfortable in your home, but not miserable when you get the bill. By YEM Auto Group on North Henderson in Galesburg. Home to Chevrolet, Buick, GMC, Chrysler, Jeep, Dodge, and Ram. Say yes to YEM. By Kratty Insurance Agency, your local Rockford Mutual Insurance Agency in Galesburg. And by the all-new Galesburg Toyota, the dealership everyone is talking about. Proud to bring you GHS Silver Streaks football on 93.7 FM and 1400 AM WGIL.
The official WGIL forecast is brought to you by Justin Cook State Farm, informing you that auto accidents have the highest risk of legal action. Call today to see if you're properly insured. Slight chance for rain overnight with a low of 58. Some sunshine tomorrow. Chance of rain, high of 73. A 50-50 chance of showers and thunderstorms tomorrow night with an overnight low of 62. And Sunday, partly sunny with a high of 78.
Currently in downtown Galesburg, it's 59 at WGIL.
WGIL's coverage of Silver Streaks football continues with the GHS postgame show on 93.7 FM and 1400 AM WGIL.
Silver Streaks fall in the season opener to Dunlap for the second straight year by a 21-7 final. We're going to head down to the field. Our postgame coaches interview brought to you by Craddy Insurance, your local Rockford Mutual Insurance agency in Galesburg. Jake Miller is with head coach Mike Washabaugh.
Okay, Coach, thanks for sticking around for a moment. Just mentioning that, you know, they're eerily similar 7-7 halftime score and the same final score as last year. The difference tonight, obviously, was what Mitchell Gore did in the second half.
Yeah, he kind of wore us down, you know. We had some guys playing some heavy minutes. Sean Pettmeyer went down left guard, so that made our nose go both ways. So all three of the guys, you know what I mean, just got into that fourth quarter, and he started playing downhill, and you know, we had some guys entering, you know, snaps 160, 170 at that point.
And I think that definitely in the second half, our defense seemed to play a lot of snaps. And obviously, you know, it could have been a fatigue issue, but they were on the field a lot because offensively it just didn't seem like we could get any kind of a real rhythm going.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, we struggled in the run game. They came out a 3-4. They've never been a 3-4 team, you know, but we've seen them. We repped it all over the summer. You know, we did it in pregame, things like that. But, you know, they did a good job getting Hats the ball. You know, I didn't feel comfortable bringing more tight ends in the game, you know, so I thought we needed to stay in that stuff and be able to throw it. And it just, you know, when they did bail, they attached to guys. And, you know, I don't think it was like we were getting flushed out of the pocket. I think he was getting to his second, third read, and it was time to get out of there and bail, you know, until I see the film. You know, it was very tough up front because we struggled in the run game, and then obviously we struggled in the pass game as well.
Last question, Coach. Is there anything tonight glaring? I know you haven't looked at the film yet, and tough question to ask at the end. Is there a lesson right now that you see glaring that you know right now in your mind it's going to be one of the first things you talk about, something to fix, something to change getting into next week?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think effort or playing hard was an issue, but, you know, I think we had three penalties. They're uncharacteristic. You know, I took one. That's the first one I've had in 14 years ever to get caught on the sideline. You know, so we have to run those things out. It wasn't false start. It was those sorts of things. You know, special teams, they had a good scheme where they held up our gunner and then our contained guys. So then we kind of switched that at halftime. And then we went to empty punt, and they still hit it up their sideline. So that was kind of a struggle. You know, I don't question the kids' effort or their preparation or that. It's just, you know, we got to maximize our opportunities. I felt like we left, you know, two scores pretty close to being close scores or definitely big plays. We weren't able to capitalize, you know, and that's how kind of the game goes when you're playing a quality opponent.
Coach, thanks for talking with me. I appreciate it.
Yep, thank you.
Our thanks to Mike Washabaugh joining us here in the postgame. Our postgame coaches interview brought to you by Craddy Insurance, your local Rockford Mutual Insurance agency in Galesburg. We'll take a timeout, come back, look at the final statistics, give you our Dave's Auto Body Crunch Time Player of the Game as well. 21-7, Dunlap wins it. This is Silver Streaks football coverage on WGIL and WGIL.com.
If your bathroom makes you cringe, but you don't want to deal with the mess of a remodel, I have the quickest, easiest solution possible. At Neil Thomas Plumbing and Heating, we can cover your tub, shower, and walls with a custom-fitted acrylic bath system. It won't chip, crack, stain, or fade. Plus, no more grout. You can pick from a variety of colors and styles to fit your taste, and in just a few days, you'll have a transformed bathroom. I'm Neil Thomas. Give us a call and get your beautiful new bathroom at 342-HEAT.
Live coverage of GHS Silver Streaks football on WGIL is brought to you in part by attorneys James Blake and Tricia Blake Miller at Blake Law Office in Galesburg, and by the UPS Store on the corner of Main and Seminary in beautiful downtown Galesburg. Proud to bring you the Silver Streaks on WGIL.
Did you know you can save about 50% on your air filters by having them cleaned rather than replaced? And Filter Service Center, now part of Mid-State Manufacturing, will even pick them up and deliver them back to you. Your filter's good as new. Filter Service Center at Mid-State Manufacturing.
Prepare to save more, spend less, and avoid getting ripped off. Listen to Clark Howard weekday mornings at 9 on 93.7 FM and 1400 AM WGIL.
21-7 the final. Dunlap defeats the Galesburg Silver Streaks to start the 2019 football season. Let's give you our Dave's Auto Body Crunch Time Player of the Game. And definitely big plays at times in this game. And I think we came to our conclusion pretty easily here, Sean. You want to talk about it first?
Yeah, you know, I talked about it in the game. You know, I went back and I watched the replay of it. And the only score that we have, and it's easy to try to say, well, we're going to give it to the person that scored. But the way that he did it, you know, we have Justice Gatson, who had a nice reception for about 40-plus yards, threw it out there, made a nice catch. But it was what Dre Egyptiaco did after his catch that freed him up for the touchdown on his, you know, about an 8- or 10-yard pass play that resulted in about a 48-yard touchdown. And we're talking about the ability athletically and speed-wise to break away and develop what are called yak yards. Those are yards after completion.
Right.
And that was what he was able to do with that play once the ball was in his hands, was to put a move on somebody, breakaway speed, and get down a sideline and score a touchdown. Jake, what's your thought?
That's exactly right.
You had a good look at it down on the field.
It was beautiful. It was a playmaking type of thing. We know what kind of athlete both those the Egyptiaco boys are. And he makes, you know, the basketball skill kind of, you know, played in there, and he makes a fantastic move. And, you know, the Gatson catch was also, I think, like close second on my list, just because it was a play that was so deep in our end zone that that really mattered to get us going, but nothing came of it. So I think it's an easy choice.
And, you know, I'm a defensive guy too. We don't want to take away from the two turnovers that we had with the interception from Raheem Speaks and was it Nico?
Nico.
Doug Johnson had at the goal line. You know, those are all big plays, but to me there's nothing that stood up more than what we saw from Dre Egyptiaco.
Well, and those are the glimpses, I think, of the things that we think that this team can do that do have us excited for the possibilities for this year, but we just didn't see enough of the whole package. So you got to have more than just a flashy play every now and then, as we saw here tonight. 21-7 the final. Dunlap wins it. Come back with our final statistics when we come back on WGIL and WGIL.com.
RP Lumber is your source for anything from lumber and building materials to light bulbs and paint. RP believes buying materials should be the easiest part of any project, whether you're a contractor or a do-it-yourselfer. Come visit them today and experience the RP difference.
You just crashed your car, had an accident, and you don't know what to do.
Dave's Auto Body.
You better call Dave's.
It's that time of year. It's football, volleyball, cheerleading, golf, cross country, and soccer. It's time to represent. And Elite Ink is the source for screen printing, embroidery, promotional products, and accessories to outfit your school, club, or business. Want the coolest graphics and freshest designs? You're going to love working with Elite Ink. Design services are 100% free. If you can think it, they can print it. Visit EliteInkPrinting.com and click on Start Your Order for a quote. Get in the game with Elite Ink, where it's more than just a t-shirt.
I say that customer will be interested in a Toyota RAV4.
Way off. I think they look more like a Highlander customer.
Here at Galesburg Toyota, our sales staff plays a little game we affectionately call Name That Ride, where they try to guess what kind of a car a customer will be interested in before we even know their name.
That young blood is probably looking for a good pre-owned with a little style.
And Mr. Can't Put His Phone Down over there would dig the new Camry with Wi-Fi and Remote Connect.
Let us match you with the ride of your dreams, making the car buying culture easy and fun.
Online at GalesburgToyota.com.
Kehoe Eye Care has expanded and now offers state-of-the-art vision care on the square in downtown Monmouth. Meet new doctor, Alexandra Brake.
I have a lot of experience with cataracts, glaucoma, macular degeneration, and pediatrics. I really like working with kids. It's fun to get the little ones excited about the health of their eyes. I'm now accepting new patients, and I'd love to meet you.
For the most thorough exam available, make your appointment at Kehoe Eye Care, now in Monmouth and Galesburg. Schedule online now at KehoeEyeCare.com.
At Kehoe Eye Care, we care for people, not just eyes.
Nobody covers the Silver Streaks like 93.7 FM and 1400 AM WGIL. Galesburg Sports.
Post-game statistics brought to you by Kehoe Eye Care. They care for people, not just eyes. Let's take a look at the Silver Streaks, who fell to Dunlap tonight 21-7. Not much to get excited about offensively on the ground. Only 18 yards rushing. Dylan McBride had 21 of them on 8 carries. Connor Ayton, 8 carries for minus 3. And David Vanderman had 2 carries for 0. Ayton, let's see, 3, 4, 5, 7 for 16 with a touchdown and an interception, 123 yards passing. A couple of receptions by Grant Ayton for 12 yards. Dre Egyptiaco, our Dave's Auto Body Crunch Time Player of the Game, had 3 of those catches for 61 yards, including 48. And Justice Gatson had the big 40-yard catch. 2 of his catches went for 50 yards tonight. Silver Streaks penalized 6 times for 38 yards. for Dunlap. They really didn't have much going on the ground either until Mitchell Gore took him downfield pretty much by himself on that last scoring drive got us to our 21-7 final. Gore had 9 carries for 70 yards and 2 of their 3 touchdowns. Isaiah Curry, 9 carries for 29 yards. Jackson Chatterton, 10 carries for 43 yards. Wright had 3 carries late in the game for 3. Dietz, his backup quarterback, lost 5 on 1. Gabe Calhoun had 1 carry for 0. Chatterton finished with 166 yards passing and two interceptions tonight. And I'm sorry, 1 interception. Dietz had the other interception in his only pass attempt. Their leading receiver of the night was Casey Erickson. Had 2 catches for 64 yards, including the 49-yard touchdown reception. Seth Haley, 3 catches for 43 yards. Gabe Calhoun, 4 catches for 37 yards. And Braden Dietz had a reception for 5. And I guess, guys, when you look at just kind of the statistical aspect, it does help show a little bit more why Dunlap was able to win this game 21-7. They were able to involve more people. They got a little more complete offensive game, I guess, when you just look at those statistics too. And again, I don't want to take anything away from their defense. I do think the Streaks offense struggled tonight, but I do credit Dunlap's defense for part of that.
You're right. I mean, they went out there and they played, and we talked about the fact that we wore out a little bit too at the end. But something I was thinking more about is with our 3-4 defense, 3 of those guys that are playing linebacker for us are sophomores. We have Cannon Klein in there and Hunter Davina.
That's right.
And the Carl kids. So we have a pretty young group that's there. And when you have linemen who are wearing down because they're getting so many snaps on both sides of the ball, you need to have those linebackers step up. And these guys, this hopefully was a good learning experience for them and an opportunity just to see, you know, what needs to be done at the varsity level, because to be honest, they didn't have snaps last year. This is their first experience with that. And as I always say, you cannot in practice replicate game speed.
No.
And so this was their first experience to that, and they can only get better from here on.
Yeah, absolutely. Well said. You know, tonight it was a tale of two halves. You know, we seemed to match our energy and speed in the first half, and then the second half just kind of happened, you know, and it wasn't the big turnover or anything like that. It was just that Dunlap was able to assert themselves offensively and we weren't. We just couldn't find the one thing that we could hang our hat on to get us going, and Dunlap was able to weather the quarterback issues that they had in terms of Chatterton's injury and just lean on the backs of their offensive line, which was a question mark for them. So, yeah, they're feeling good about things right now, and we still have some questions that need to be answered, and we have some young guys that need to, you know, assess themselves and figure out ways to, you know, take that next step. And the difference between week one and week two is always so big in terms of your development. It's almost like, you know, the difference between your freshman and your sophomore year. There's a big jump between week one and two, and hopefully our guys are able to go forward and take the next step and in another very winnable ball game that they have next week.
Yes. And you talk about disparities. I mean, we have those young guys in there getting their first snaps. There's a big difference between in this age in 2 years of growth from a sophomore to a senior. You know, there's a big gap there. And, you know, to have 3 sophomores starting at linebacker, you're going to see some nice growth from those guys, and it's going to be really exciting to see what they can do in 2 years.
Jake mentioned a winnable game next week. Centralia was just 1-8 last season. They were a playoff team 2 years ago, but had a drop-off last year. So there is a lot of optimism about, despite the long trip down there, being a good opportunity to get to the 500 mark. And 1-1 looks a heck of a lot better going to the Western Big Six than 0-2 does, for sure.
Absolutely.
Yeah, it does. Just a quick check. The watch for 100 ended at 96-14.
Oh,
Peoria High beat Champagne Centennial 96-14 tonight. Just wanted to let you guys know that.
I'm glad we were able to wrap that up so we knew for sure whether or not they made it.
I know you're so worried. We're worried about it.
We'll miss you guys next week, but we'll be glad to have you back in 2 weeks when we're back home against Geneseo. We'll see you then.
Sounds good.
Again, Jim Lee will fill in as these guys have work obligations they got to do next week, but we'll have them the rest of the way. Streaks fall tonight, 21-7-2 Dunlap. And we'll, again, be with you Saturday. It's a Saturday game against Centralia, 12:30 kickoff next week. and 12:30 pregame rather, and a 1 o'clock kickoff. Hope you can be with us then. 21-7 the final. Dunlap wins it tonight. Drea Gypsyako, our Dave's Auto Body Crunch Time Player of the Game. Good night from Van Dyke Field.
Thanks for listening to GHS Silver Streaks Football on 93.7 FM and 1400 AM WGIL. Galesburg Sports.